Welcome to the May 23rd meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules of Executive Appointments. And it's great to see a room full of eager appointees. So I am Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Rules Committee. And with me at the moment are two of our members, Senator Ginny Burdick and Senator Lee Beyer. So we constitute a quorum. We'll shortly be joined by our two other members. Just so you'll know how we operate here, we'll be calling each of you up as an individual, if you're the only person being appointed to your particular board or commission or position. If there's more than one person for the same board, we'll call you as a group. Some people will be appearing by telephone, as you'll see right away. And we'll ask you very briefly to tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve in this position. And then don't be worried if you don't hear us voting on your appointment right away, because we will be holding all of these appointments until the end of the hearing and acting on them generally as a group. So that's how we operate, and we're very glad you're here again. So I'll just start right in by opening a public hearing on the appointments of Alita O'Neill and Sherry Dunn to the State Workforce Investment Board. Alita will be joining us by telephone. And I should say, too, please start by saying your name. Yes, please join us at the dais. Uh-huh.
My name is Sherry Dunn.
Hi, Sherry. So we just opened a public hearing. Alita, have you joined us by phone, Alita O'Neill? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I think I can hear you on this end, but let me try one more time.
Get the comments out.
Hi, is this Alita O'Neill?
Is it plugged in?
Good afternoon.
Oh, yes. So is this Alita O'Neill?
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you. I go by Allie O'Neill, and yes, this is she.
Great. And this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum here in the state capitol in Salem. I just opened a public hearing on your appointment and that of Sherry Dunn to the State Workforce Investment Board. And so we'll ask you to just tell us, and here with me in Salem are Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Ginny Burdick, members of our committee. If you would like to go first, and just tell us your name for the record, and then very briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve in this position. Is it okay if we have virtual first?
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My full name is Alida. I go by Allie O'Neill. I'm the co-owner of O'Neill Construction Group, formerly known as O'Neill Electric, or construction contractor in Portland, Oregon, for the last 18 years. And I'm very excited to be nominated for this board for many reasons, but I'll focus quickly on two. One is my business has been a registered training agent for apprentices for 17 years. And through this, I've seen both the incredible benefits of apprenticeship programs for both worker and employer, but I've also seen that this mode of training is underutilized, and I'm very excited that this board is involved with expanding apprenticeship program utilization. Our business, most of the projects that I manage are affordable housing projects, some new, but also many remodels. And we talk a lot about the shortage of affordable housing, but we don't talk a lot so far about how to make sure that affordable housing is not lifetime housing for those who are able to work and find the appropriate job training. So I'm very interested that this board also focuses on job training for TANF recipients. So thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. I think we'll hold questions till we've heard from both of you, so please go ahead.
Sure. Hi, my name is Sherry Dunn, and I'm the Executive Director of Dress for Success Oregon. My background is I have a BA undergraduate from Marquette in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a law degree from Northwestern University School of Law in Chicago. I've worked both as a funder, as an attorney, and as a nonprofit executive. Currently at Dress for Success Oregon, we work with preparing women particularly to make sure they are job ready. So I'm very interested in my hopeful new board member Ms. O'Neill to talk more about particularly housing and employment. Dress for Success works on job retention issues, specifically how can women obtain and maintain employment. We estimate that 600 and some women last year received jobs who came through our program, putting about $15 million into the Oregon economy. And, you know, we really are interested in those issues around not just folks who are in TANF, but transitional workers in general. Our women represent people who are underemployed, unemployed, or who have lost their jobs, and folks who have been TANF recipients. So we think we can be a great voice and a partner with the state in ensuring that our clients are full participants in helping to move Oregon forward.
Great. Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve. I think you'll be great additions to this board. And having served as a legislative member of the Workforce Investment Board, I know you'll find it interesting and valuable. So do we have any questions for Ms. Dunn or Ms. O'Neill? Okay. I don't see any questions for you. Okay. So, well, again, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing.
Okay.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Michael Alexander to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland. While he's coming forward, just so people will know what's happening, the next person we'll hear from will be Colette Peters. Welcome to our Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee, and please just state your name for the record and tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Port of Portland Commission.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, and good afternoon, Senators. My name is Michael Alexander. I live in Selwood. I am a 10-year resident of the state of Oregon. My background is I have a bachelor's degree from Lewis University in Romeoville, Illinois, and an MSW from Bryn Mawr, the Graduate School of Social Work. My interest in the Port of Portland is that I believe I bring a set of desires that I'd like to support. I came here to work on the management team at Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I served on the management team there for 7 years. 3 years ago, I retired to become CEO of the Urban League of Portland, and I occupied that position until last year when I retired. I've had the good fortune of seeing life on both sides of the river in Portland and throughout other parts of our state, and I'm very interested in supporting the economic vitality that I believe the port can bring, but also the improvement in quality of life that's a part of its portfolio as well. And so I am very pleased to have the opportunity to be considered as commissioner.
Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. It's an extremely important position. And did we have any questions for Mr. Alexander? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Any thoughts on container ships?
Well, I think that the port over its history has evolved. Its business model has expanded in opportunistic directions. And obviously, this is a time for us to look to see what the next path of opportunity might be. I don't know what the answer is, but clearly, there's a challenge that's going to be presented to the leadership there.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any other questions, so thank you again, and we'll act on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
All right, thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Colette Peters as the director of the Department of Corrections. While she's coming forward, our next appointees will be Dr. Dustin Uli and Victoria Edwards. And good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Colette Peters, and I am the director of the Department of Corrections here before you, seeking confirmation of my reappointment as the director, and happy to be here. When I appeared before you in 2012, I described my philosophy. I mentioned that throughout my career in public safety, I really believe that an effective justice system focuses on holding offenders accountable for their actions, providing swift and sure sanctions for those actions, a system that really invests in rehabilitation to improve the likelihood that when they leave our care and custody, they commit crime no more, and one that provides those reentry supports to really reduce those barriers to leading a crime-free life, and one that, as a former victims advocate, is so important to me. It needs to be a system that prevents future victimization. I think that's why this system exists. I also talked about the importance of focusing on evidence-based programs. As you know, the legislature passed Senate Bill 276 years ago and requested that the Department of Corrections operate those evidence-based programs. I really have a commitment to making sure that those investments made in our system continue. Since 2012, I have worked with exceptional staff inside this organization. So many of you have visited our prisons and met those staff. I've worked with our labor leaders, our public safety partners, and other key stakeholders to really help us form a system of public safety as opposed to pockets and silos. And I'm proud to say that while housing more than 14,500 adults in our custody with approximately 4,500 team members, Oregon continues to be one of the strongest correction systems in the country. Our recidivism rate is one of the lowest in the nation. The violence rates in our prisons are down, and staff always like me to knock on wood when I say things like that out loud. We really do continue the difficult task of managing our prisons with the largest number of mentally ill adults in our care and custody. And these accomplishments have occurred all while managing a very high number of temporary and emergency beds. And we've done that because of experienced and dedicated staff. Again, the use of evidence-based practices and strong oversight mechanisms throughout the organization. So in addition, I'd like to share just briefly some of the work that is pushing our agency even further. In 2013, we implemented a performance-based management system at the Department of Corrections, so we're really tracking every component of our organization. And we've made staff wellness our top priority. I've shared with all of you individually the stressors that come with being a corrections professional, and they're very severe. And so we're working to really combat those stressors. And we've placed a strong focus on workforce development. We all are faced with baby boomers retiring across state government, but it's compounded at the Department of Corrections because 20 to 25 years ago, we built a whole bunch of prisons and we hired new staff that are now retirement eligible. And so we're really focusing on that as well. We continue to focus on further reducing that recidivism rate. And those are just some of the highlights that I wanted to share with the committee this morning. But I want you to know that I will continue my firm belief in accountability, rehabilitation, and our obligation to really help prepare those individuals for successful transition back into the community. Lastly, if reappointed, I will remain focused on our 4,500 staff members who make up the DOC team. These individuals have one of the toughest jobs in public safety, and their work oftentimes goes unnoticed. I think often we drive past our prisons and our jails and don't really think about what happens on the other side of those walls. So I will not lose sight that these men and women put their life on the line every day to keep our communities and our prisons safe. And I want you to know that I will continue to push for staff wellness, professional development, open communication, and professional excellence as the director of this agency. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you very much for the work you've done and your willingness to continue. Do we have any questions for Ms. Peters?
I was going to, but I'll pass.
Okay, I don't see any questions for you, and I know that I've talked individually to the members of our committee, so.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Dustin Uli and Victoria Edwards to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. After we've heard from them, we'll be hearing from Stephanie Chow. And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Whoever wants to go first, just say your name and tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chairman, or Madam Chair, Rosenbaum, and Senators. My name is Victoria Edwards. I live in North Portland. I've been a longtime resident of Oregon, moved here when I was four, and attended the University of Oregon for both undergraduate and graduate studies in speech pathology. I've worked in a variety of settings for speech-language pathology, everything from early intervention to skilled nursing facilities and home health. I've currently been with Kaiser Permanente now for 14 years. And I've been involved in various committee work with my profession. I'm looking forward to kind of a new challenge, one that involves increased responsibility, being on the licensing board. I really enjoy problem solving and being a team player. And I'd like to contribute to the advancement of our field to maintain quality patient care, as patients are our first priority. I'm a very motivated person. I am a hard worker, and as well as a good leader. So I feel like I'm able to listen well, ask pertinent questions, and provide fairness, as well as a sense of humor to a board. So I look forward to fulfilling this role.
Great, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Dustin Uli.
And you don't need to get very close
to these.
They're pretty sensitive.
Okay. Thank you all for your service to the state of Oregon, and thank you for your time today. I began my career as a special education teacher, later working as a gifted education teacher. I served in the United States Peace Corps as a teacher in the People's Republic of China. Returning to the United States, I worked as a substitute teacher before completing my graduate program in audiology. Currently, I work for Columbia Regional Program, which is a state-funded program that serves children with low-incidence disabilities. I work there as an audiologist. My entire professional career thus far has been dedicated to public service. It's something that's shaped who I am, something that I very much enjoy, and this seems this appointment seems to be kind of an extension of that. There are a number of issues currently before the board that I hope to have a voice in helping to direct the trajectory of those issues. I also look forward to the challenge and responsibility of essentially protecting the people of Oregon from those who don't follow the rules and guidelines outlined by the board. So once again, thank you for your time, and I welcome any questions you have for me.
Well, thank you both, and it's great to hear that you're going to add a sense of humor to what sounds like a pretty serious assignment. That is important, too. Any questions for these two appointees? I don't see any, so thank you again.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Stephanie Shao to the Board of Trustees of Portland State University. And while she's joining us next, we'll hear from Julia Brim-Edwards and Michael Bailey.
Hello there. Thank you
for
having me. My name is Stephanie Shao. I am a senior at Portland State University. I'm getting my Bachelor of Science in Accounting from the School of Business and the Honors College. I'll be graduating in 2 weeks, but I will be coming back in the fall for the Master's of Science in Financial Analysis program. Mm-hmm. So I will be ready to serve. Through teaching freshman students for 2 years now and sitting on two university boards, I feel that I've really gained a thorough understanding of how PSU works and of how I can help serve the students. I also believe that my understanding of financial concepts will benefit any decision making that I'll be doing. Finally, as a financially independent student that pays out-of-state tuition, I feel very strongly about the affordability of higher education, and I hope to promote that cause. Thank you.
Great. Well, we're pleased that you're willing to take the sign in addition to your studies. And so did we have any questions for Ms. Shao? I don't see any, so
right.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Julia Brim-Edwards and Michael Bailey to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University. Michael Bailey will be joining us by phone. Good afternoon. Is this Michael Bailey?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and here with me are Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Brian Boquist, and we've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University. We also have your fellow appointee, Julia Brim-Edwards, here with us in person. So if you'd like to go ahead first and just briefly state your name for the record, tell us a little about your background very briefly and why you'd like to serve.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Rosenbaum and senators of the committee.
My name is Michael Bailey, and I'm the nominee for the faculty position on the OSU Board of Trustees. The reason I'm interested in this position is really what it comes down to is passion. I have passion for the university and passion for what the university can do to transform the lives of Oregonians. I've seen it happen and I've seen it work. And because I bring a broad spectrum of experience to bear, I believe I can serve this position very well. I've really been living a full university faculty experience. I teach a lot. Career-wide, I've had a total of around 6,000 students in my classes. I've taught both on campus and electronically online. I research a lot. This summer, I will graduate my 50th graduate student. And I'm involved with faculty service a lot. I have a broad outlook on what service means, from working with students outside the classroom to the university committees to having been faculty senate president. I also spend a lot of time doing education and outreach with people who are younger than college age and with people who are older than college age. I really feel that as a public university, and especially as a land-grant public university, Oregon State needs to have an attitude that we're going to touch as many Oregon citizens in a positive way as we can. Those who are on campus and those who are not, and those who are college age and those who are not. I'm fully aware that members of the Board of Trustees are not appointed to serve any specific constituency. And so even though I will occupy the faculty position, I would use this position to represent the needs of the state and the citizens of Oregon. So in summary, Oregon State's statewide presence and its mission are key reasons why I like working there so much. I have knowledge, experience, and a service-oriented attitude to bring to the position of faculty representative on the Board of Trustees. And I promise you that this is a role that I will take very seriously every single day. Senators, thank you for your time, and I would now be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll hold questions till we've heard from both of you. So please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm Julia Broom Edwards, and I'm a nominee for the OSU Board of Trustees. It's an honor to have been nominated, as I'm passionate, as Mike said, also, about public education and the opportunities it provides to transform lives. I spent more than 17 years in Oregon public schools, 13 years as a student at Portland Public Schools, followed by 4-plus change at Oregon State. Oregon State's well-positioned for the future with strong leadership by Dr. Ray. Yet huge challenges face our students and universities, challenges related to access, affordability, degree completion, and disparate outcomes for students. If confirmed, I'd work with the board and the OSU community to address these challenges and enhance and accelerate the work that's underway to position OSU and its students for the future. What I hope to bring to the Board of Trustees is a relentless focus on students and policies that support student success. In my professional life, I've shaped state, national, and global policy and legislation, and starting before my own children entered public schools, which is now almost 20 years ago, I've been a parent and community leader advocating for Oregon students. Having served on many boards, including chairing the school board for a district with more than 45,000 students, I have an understanding of effective board governance and policy development and the major issues facing students and the state's public education system. As a trustee, I'd be committed to the transparent stewardship of this public institution and would be honored to serve Oregon State and the state in this capacity. Thank you for your consideration.
Great. Well, thank you both. Do we have any questions for either of these folks?
Great appointees.
Okay. I don't see any questions for you, so thank you, Mr. Bailey, for joining us by phone. Have a good day. Thank you, Ms. Brim Edwards, and we'll be acting on both of your appointments at the close of today's hearing. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Chris Harder as the director of the Oregon Business Development Department. After we've heard from him, we'll be calling our appointees to the Oregon Health Policy Board. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Chair Rosenbaum, committee members, my name is Chris Harder. Thank you for considering my appointment today to be the next director of the Oregon Business Development Department. I grew up in Oregon and most recently served as the Economic Development Director for the Portland Development Commission. Previously, I spent time in North Carolina where I was the Director of Economic Analysis for the North Carolina Department of Commerce and in their Governor's Budget Office. Over the past 2 months, I've spent time in Pendleton, John Day, Bendon, Redmond, Eugene and Springfield, Klamath Falls, and Astoria, Tillamook, and Coos Bay along the coast. The purpose was to visit communities, introduce myself to local leaders, and meet our state's key employers. While our state in aggregate is thriving, unemployment is at historic lows, GDP is expanding, innovation is booming, outcomes are still uneven. There are communities still struggling, particularly in rural Oregon. Two things are immediately evident regarding economic development in Oregon, and they point to why I'm very interested in assuming the responsibilities of director. First, our state is a collection of unique regional economies. A one-size-fits-all approach won't suffice. Business Oregon is in an advantageous position to invest in and grow local and regional assets. A few examples. Our infrastructure division played a key role in helping the Port of Coos Bay acquire a 134-mile rail line to connect Willamette Valley to global markets. Similarly, natural resource-based industries remain core to many regional economies. The agency is heavily invested in rural innovation, such as advanced wood products from companies like Roseboro Lumber and D.R. Johnson. Second, we must collaborate to compete. Business Oregon assumes an increasingly important role in convening stakeholders on business, economic, and workforce issues. Some great examples I've seen firsthand these past 2 months. Blue Mountain Forest Partners, a diverse group of stakeholders, are collaborating with the U.S. Forest Service to achieve ongoing restoration and ensure economic development in Grant County. Rain in Eugene, Klamath Idea in Klamath Falls, and the Oregon Manufacturing Innovation Center in Columbia County, which I presented to committee this morning, are great examples of the private sector, government, and our universities collaborating to promote research and development and entrepreneurship. As the state's lead economic development official, I commit to ensuring that Business Oregon and its many talented staff are focused on retaining and expanding existing companies, prioritizing community infrastructure, and investing in Oregon-sourced entrepreneurs and small businesses, regardless of location. I look forward to working closely with each of you and the entire Oregon legislature to promote economic prosperity throughout the state. Thank you.
Thank you. This is definitely one of our most important positions, and we're glad that you're willing to take it on. Questions? Yes, Senator Beyer.
Not a question so much as a statement. Chris and I have had a couple of opportunities to sit and talk, and I appreciate his perspective on the state and recognition. You know, there's always a danger when we hear, oh, yeah, another Portlander. I mean, and that, you know, Oregon's a pretty big state and a very different state in any regards, and I appreciate your recognition of that, and I think your North Carolina experience, which is in many respects similar, will be helpful. Around here, we spend a lot of time talking about small business because, frankly, it's good politics, but I don't think we know why we do what we do in a lot of places, and I guess I would encourage you across the board as you take the reins, which I guess you already have, to really spend some time looking at the strategies that you're using and understanding why we're doing what we're doing and why what we're trying to get out of that and attach some metrics to it. We've talked a couple of times about a strategic plan, and I've yet to see one out of the department. So I hope to see one in the near future that addresses what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Other comments or questions? Yes,
certainly.
Senator Boquist.
Senator Beyer here. And I would expand his request a little bit larger, and that is that obviously there's so much bang for the buck, and we do spend a lot of time, because as Senator Beyer says, about small business. But there is a gap that we have struggled with. Senate twice in its wisdom has tried to close that gap, and we finally got the House to do something recently with us. And that is that, I guess we'll call medium-sized businesses, those that will be still small according to IP 28, but those in the category of where the bang for the buck is 2 or 3 million to 25 million, and they are in suburban or rural areas along that line, and trying to create business expansion. I mean, we all like to compete, but as was pointed out, North Carolina, Oregon, everybody's all competing here. I mean, the focus on trying to take existing resources and existing businesses we have and try and work with them for expansion probably is the niche market of the future. Mm-hmm. And good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I don't see any other comments or questions for you, so thank you again. We'll act on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Oscar Arana, Brenda Johnson, and Stacy Dodson to the Oregon Health Policy Board. I believe they're all here, and after we've heard from them, we'll be calling our appointees to the Oregon Board of Accountancy. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll go first. Madam Chair, Senators, thank you very much for your service to our great state, and thank you for allowing me to participate in this process. For the record, I'm Stacy Dodson, nominated for the Governor's Health Policy Board in the state of Oregon. I'm a 37-year Oregonian. I've lived in every corner of this state, the Oregon coast, the Willamette Valley, Portland, Central and Eastern Oregon. The only place I haven't lived is where Brenda's from, and that is Southern Oregon. In my role as the market president for U.S. Bank in the state of Oregon, I work with every demographic that accesses health care in this state. I work with consumers, I work with small business, middle market companies, and large corporate companies. And we all face challenges in accessing health care. And in those demographics, each of those demographics accesses health care in some way. And if I can play a part in having that process, the experience of those who access health care, and the cost of health care in the state of Oregon, I am privileged to do that. From a very personal perspective, having grown up in this beautiful state of Oregon, I was raised by a single mom who had no health insurance most of her life, and that has stuck with me. And so for me to have a chance to help provide access in our state of Oregon is a good thing indeed. I know you have my profile. If you want to ask any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senators, for the record, my name is Brenda Johnson. I serve as the Executive Director, CEO of La Clinica in Jackson County, Oregon, and have the great honor and privilege of serving some of our state's most low-income and vulnerable populations in providing primary medical care, dental services, and behavioral health services. And in that pleasure, what an exciting time to be part of healthcare. You know, in this country right now, being in Oregon, we are in the front edge of what is happening across the nation. And so I get to see that every day in my work and in my community, and most excitedly through the coordinated care organizations, of course, that have had a lot of innovation in our communities, doing the work of lowering the total cost of care for Oregonians, improving health equity, improving health quality is a big passion for me personally. I'll stop now. I know where you have very limited time and a lot of people to talk to, but I very much look forward to any questions you might have for me.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Oscar Arana, and I'm the president of the Hispanic Metropolitan Chamber. I've been a Portlander for 21 years. I attended the University of Oregon, where I got my journalism degree and my MBA as well. My first career was as a journalist, and over the last 7-plus years, I've been in the nonprofit sector, working mostly with culturally specific organizations. There's really two big reasons why I'm really excited to be part of this board. One is I feel like I can really bring a voice to communities that are sometimes not heard when it comes to being represented in healthcare. Growing up, I never had health insurance. My family didn't have health insurance until I attended the University of Oregon. That was the first time that I had some coverage as a student. And also, you know, my father continues to not necessarily seek healthcare, mostly because of systems that aren't necessarily culturally sensitive or culturally appropriate, systems that can be seen pretty scary to some communities. And then the second reason is to really, as a president of the Hispanic Chamber, we represent a lot of small businesses, a lot of entrepreneurs who are really trying to grow their business, who are trying to create jobs and trying to create health coverage for their employees as well. And sometimes they have to make very difficult decisions about the expense of health care. So those are the two big reasons why I'm excited to be part of this board. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, all three of you, for your willingness to surround this important board. Do we have any questions?
Don't fail. Oh, my colleague's already lost her seat over it.
Well, we certainly encourage you to do your best, and I know you all will. I don't see any questions for you. So we'll thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Stuart Morris and Deborah Valleur to the Oregon Board of Accountancy. While they're coming forward, our next appointee will be Cindy Weinhold. Good afternoon. Thank you for waiting so patiently. And whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenboom and the other senators on the committee. My name is Deborah Valleur. I'm a trial attorney with Farmers Insurance in Eugene, Oregon, and nominee for the public member position on the Board of Accountancy. To give you a little bit of my background, I'm a Navy brat. After serving 20 years, my dad brought us home to McMinnville, where I was raised in a town that's primary export was turkeys, not Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. I had 4-H and FFA projects, and that led me to Oregon State University on an agricultural honors scholarship. Somewhere along the line, I realized I didn't have a farm to come home to and had an argument with my father. Must have been doing pretty well because he said, Deborah, why don't you put those arguing skills to work and go to law school? And so that's what I did. That's how I wound up at the University of Oregon School of Law, graduating in 1993. Right out of law school, I had the pleasure of serving as a clerk at the Lane County Circuit Court, and that experience has really shaped that commitment to public service and why I'm here today. Just to give another story about my father, he's a Navy hero. In 1959, August, he was on the Nautilus when it went under the North Pole for the first time. Came out the other side, he was interviewed by a radio person, and he asked, you know, Mr. Pilcher, you're a hero. His response was, no, I'm just doing my job. And that's the attitude I have about public service and my approach to this role. It's a public protection role. And I've served through my work with Oregon State Bar and for the local community in similar roles. I'm a past president of Oregon Women Lawyers. I'm a past member of the Eugene Police Civilian Review Board. Currently, I serve as a pro tem judge for the Lane County Circuit Court and on the Oregon State Bar Local Disciplinary Board. I look forward to being able to serve on the Board of Accountancy and the public protection that I'll provide. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and Senators, my name is Stuart Morris. I am from Portland, Oregon. I am licensed as a public accountant, not a CPA, but a public accountant, and have been since 1978. In the last 6 years, I have worked with the board as their peer review member. I have worked on rules and statutes committee, on fee committees, and I have been liaison between the Oregon Association of Independent Accountants and the Board of Accountancy. It's my hope to serve on the board to fulfill the rest of the role as an accountant before I retire. Thank you.
Thank you both for your willingness to serve on this important board. Do we have any questions for these folks? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Cindy Weinhold to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission. After we've heard from her, we'll be calling Douglas Ferguson. Good afternoon. Thanks for your patience.
Good afternoon.
And welcome
thank
to our
you,
committee.
Senator Rosenbaum, and thank you, Senators, for allowing me to appear before you. I am a mother of three. I have.
You could just say your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cindy Weinhold. I have RN, BSN from OHSU up in Portland. I'm a mother of three. I have served in the role of a lot of various. volunteering positions within the school. I've been a mentor at Roosevelt Middle School for some of the at-risk children. I'm currently on the board at Serenity Lane and the board of directors at Lines for Life. And I see a huge crisis in the state regarding drugs and alcohol and a spectrum of the population age-wise and socioeconomically, but also I see a huge crisis within the youth in our state, and that's a huge focus of mine. I have a lot of passion around this. My daughter happens to be an addict, so.
Well, thank you. We're certainly pleased that you're willing to take this on. In addition to, it sounds like already a busy volunteer life. Do we have any questions for Ms. Weinhold? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again. We'll act on your appointment at
thank
the close
you.
Of today's hearing. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Douglas Ferguson to the State Aviation Board. And after we've heard from him, we'll be calling on by phone Marietta Gary Smith. Is Douglas Ferguson here with us? Yes. Please come forward and have a seat. I know we had a crowded room, so yeah. So I don't know if you were able to hear the other folks that went.
I did some of them.
Great.
Outside,
so just
yes.
Say your name for the record and briefly tell us your background and why you'd like to serve on the Aviation Board.
I shall. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferraioli, Senators. My name's Douglas M. Ferguson. I go by Doug. I'm a nominee for the State Aviation Board, and it is quite an honor. It just kind of come out of the blue, and it immediately struck me as something they ought to do. I live in Grant County. I have an office, my professional office. I'm an engineer and surveyor in Mount Vernon. I keep an airplane at the Grant County Regional Airport, which is just on a hill just west of John Dane Canyon City. I spent my adult life, even I was kind of a kid at the time when I started, but in engineering and civil engineering and land surveying. I've run a company over there in Mount Vernon since 74. Yeah, a long time. I've been flying most of my adult life, about 44 years. I went through all of the commercial and instrument ratings and flew a little professional for a while to the detriment of my business, but I wouldn't have traded it for anything. And I've been involved in general aviation most of my life, obviously. I've owned airplanes, and I know the joy and the trials and tribulations of general aviation. And I think that's what makes me very enthused about this position. I think I'm getting old enough now where I can slow down. This is a good stage in my life to take something like this on. I can bring the nearly a half a century of experiences that will lend themselves to this position to the table. I think I can represent Eastern Oregon very well. And I think I'll fit in the board. The department has welcomed me with open arms. They're teaching me as quickly as they can. I find out more than I need to know every day. But I do love aviation, and this is kind of a small way. Maybe I can pay back to something that's been a large part of my life. With that, any questions?
Great. Okay, did we have any questions for Mr. Ferguson? Okay, all I can say is it's great when somebody who's going to be on the Aviation Board talks about their appointment coming out of the blue. So a great choice of words.
I didn't pick up on that. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay, thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing, and this will be by phone, of Marietta Gary Smith to the Commission on Black Affairs. And after that, I guess the next one's on the phone, too. So, hi, is this Marietta Gary Smith?
Yes, this is.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. And our full committee is here with me, and that's Senators Lee Beyer, our Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, and Senators Jenny Burdick and Senator Brian Boquist. We just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the Commission on Black Affairs. So if you'd like to just state your name for the record and then briefly tell us why you'd like to serve on this commission.
Thank you so much, Chair Rosenbaum, fellow committee members, and other honored guests this afternoon. I want to appreciate and honor the opportunity to speak on my behalf of my interest and investment in being appointed to the Oregon Commission on Black Affairs. I am a native of Portland, a second generation Portlander. My grandparents came to Oregon in the 1940s during World War II in Vanport, where they met and started their family. I am a public school educated child. I graduated from Cleveland High School in Portland, Oregon in 1990, and all of my education afterwards I did in the Deep South in Atlanta, Georgia, respectively. I graduated with a BA. I was a self-design major because at the time when I was attending college, they didn't have a public health major at my college. So I was a self-design, a double major of sociology and psychology with a minor in Africana studies. And then I got my master's in public health from the Emory University Rollins School of Public Health in 2008. I was specifically looking at the images. My thesis was on the images of African-American women in music videos and actually how that impacted their behavior and choices. And so my focus has been primarily on communities of color around safer sex practices, sexual behavior, and choices. I'm looking at the impacts around the social determinants of health and looking at the constructs of different understandings around health impact and inequities and what that looks like as far as behavior and choices. And this is considering access to resources, how people actually understand and interpret information, what information is being given, and then how all of these things interact and work to help determine how people engage with each other around the health outcomes that they're seeking. My current work, I work for Multnomah County Health Department as an AHEP health educator. My program is the Adolescent Sexual Health Equity Program. We primarily work in schools, in alternative education, as well as community-based sexuality education. That's my wheelhouse, so to speak. I primarily focus on bringing together communities of color to create spaces to talk about ways that youth can receive healthy sexual information, sexuality information, as well as supporting parents and other caregivers and trusted adults in these youth lives to make sure that the resources and access to these resources are equitable, fair, and available for them. So I feel that my experience, along with my education, including the fact that I've lived on the West Coast my entire life and I've spent time in the Deep South and other places in the United States, gives me a pretty broad and unique experience understanding what needs people have, how to be able to translate information that sometimes can be dense and very troublesome for folks, to make it relatable and palatable for them to be able to make choices, and in the end to be of service to a state that's really provided me a wonderful opportunity to create the life that I have. In closing, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve here in the state of Oregon, and I look forward to finding ways to be able to improve on health issues, specifically looking at disparities for African-Americans throughout the state. And I'm more than willing to answer any questions if there are some. Thank
Great.
You.
Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for Ms. Gary Smith? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we'll thank you again, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'll close this public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Vivian Carlisle Smith to the Commission for the Blind. She also will be joining us by phone. After that, we'll be hearing from Dr. Francesca Vermillion. Hi, is this Vivian Carlisle Smith?
Yes, it is.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. And here with me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer, Brian Boquist, and Jenny Burdick. And we've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Commission for the Blind. So if you would like to just briefly tell us about your background and why you'd like to serve, please go ahead.
Well, good afternoon to everybody. My name is Vivian Carlisle Smith. I have been associated with the Commission for the Blind since 2004. Currently, I have been a stay-at-home mom and getting re-educated into the into school. I am fully behind the Commission for the Blind because of all the programs that it provides to blind Oregonians. our children in elementary school are provided accessible technology. Some are educational programs. They provide services for our high school kids, work experience programs. For someone my age, they help us to further our education and also with adaptive technology. And for our seniors, they help them to retain their independence, self-confidence, and their dignity. And I have received a lot of services and goodwill to the Commission for the Blind, and I see this as my opportunity to pay it forward to our future generation of blind Oregonians, and in return, it will affect all Oregonians because we all interact within each other's lives. And I believe the Commission for the Blind is in a very good place. Right now, we've gone through a lot of changes over the last few years, and I think it's going in a good direction, and I would really like to be a part of making Oregon a better place.
Great. Well, we're very grateful. Yes, thank you. We're grateful you're willing to serve on this important commission. Did we have any questions for Ms. Carlisle-Smith? Okay. It looks like you've answered all of our questions. So I will thank you again, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Yes, you too. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Francesca Vermillion to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. After we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from Eric Olson. Good afternoon. Thanks for your patience and welcome to our committee.
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and fellow senators. My name is Dr. Francesca Vermillion. I've been a chiropractor for 10 years, and I had a chance to serve on the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners as a peer review committee member, and I found that entertaining and educational, and I would like to serve again. My goal with this board is to protect the public, number one, and be able to fairly and swiftly regulate my own profession, and I thank you for the nomination and your time today.
Well, thank you very much for taking this on. And did we have any questions for Dr. Vermillion? Okay, I don't see any, so thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Eric Olson to the Construction Contractors Board. And after we've heard from him, we'll be hearing from Dr. Marcia Michaels. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Eric Olson. I'm a nominee for the Construction Contractors Board. My background, I have multiple licenses from both the CCB and the Building Codes Division. The CCB as a contractor and a certified home inspector, as well as a lead-based paint remediation contractor. From the Building Codes Division, an LMS, an LHR license, a QP license, and a plumbing contractor's license. I would like to be considered as a member of the board because of my background in home inspection. I feel I have a lot to add to the committee from the point of consideration of being witness to building practices of the past. As the guy that's been under the house and in the attic, I see the results of good building practices and also bad, and probably another big motivation is I have 6 kids, and I would like to model a public service for them.
Great. Well, thank you for setting a good example and for taking this on. Do we have any questions for Mr. Olson? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing. We're going to go a little bit out of order due to some schedule constraints, and I will next open a public hearing on the appointments of George Russell and Kimberly Howard to the State Board of Education. Mr. Russell will be joining us by phone. Hi, is this George Russell?
Yes, this is George Russell. Is this Chair Rosenbaum?
Yes, this is Diane Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. Here with me in the State Capitol are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Brian Boquist. So if you'd like to begin by just telling us, state your name again for the record, which I think you already did, and then go ahead and tell us briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Okay, thank you. My name is George Russell, and Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to address you this evening. I'm actually calling you from the beautiful Rhine River in Germany. It's about midnight here, so I'm going to say good evening to you, even though I know it's afternoon there, so thank you very much. I think that I have provided, and I know the staff has provided some of my background information. As you know, perhaps, I've been involved with education for many years, both in the state of Oregon and a number of other states, and retired as a school superintendent about 5 years ago in Eugene. Since that time, I've stayed connected with education issues and continue to try to contribute back to my community in appreciation for all the support and the great will that I've received as a citizen of Oregon and as a resident of Oregon, and look forward to perhaps having the opportunity to serve the state of Oregon and its children and to help in any way that I can improve the state education system and help all children be successful.
Great. Well, we're glad that you're willing to serve, and also thank you for staying up so late to join us by telephone. So if you could just hold on for a minute, I think we'll hear from the person we have here in the room with us and then open it up for questions.
Fine. Thank you.
Great. And please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senator Committee members. My name is Kimberly Howard. I live in the Monta Vila neighborhood of Northeast Portland, and I am honored to be nominated for the State Board of Education. When I was a graduate student at Columbia University, my acting teacher said, "Kimberly, you will be a good teacher." He was from Romania, so that was my best accent representation of him. And I did teach at Walla Walla University for 3 years in the drama department. After that, I then became a member of the nonprofit world. So I've worked in all three sectors, the nonprofit sector, the public sector, and the private sector, most recently with Portland General Electric. And as the education specialist at Portland General Electric, education is both what I do for a living, but also near and dear to my heart. I'm a new mother of 7-month-old twin boys, and what the state of education will look like in Oregon in 5 years or 6 years when they start kindergarten is very, very important to me. So I also come to this appointment with that focus. And finally, I'm interested in this because I want to model public service for my children, and I'm interested in making sure that we have a future for all of our children. So thank you very much. I thank you for this consideration.
Great. Well, thank you both for your willingness to take this on in addition to your busy professional and personal lives. Do we have any questions for Ms. Howard or Mr. Russell? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Tell you just a quick question. The previous governor met with some of us before he left, and one of his topics, of course, was education, which is how we're in the present structure we are right now. And I'm not quite sure why the two of you volunteered for this, because it's almost a thankless job, as you well know. But having said that, one of his pet peeves was, consolidation, trying to reduce overhead and consolidate districts potentially versus local control. And I was wondering if either of you have an observation of how one might do that and effectively provide education at the same time.
Oh, that's a big question, Senator Boquist.
And you can answer later, but I'm just kind of putting the thought into your mind, because there is a ballot initiative out there with lots of education dollars attached to it one way or the other. And so, I mean, the topic always is big school versus small school.
Well, I went to a very small private school. And so I do feel that, you know, one teacher to 23 or less students is more effective. However, we have to deal with the situation that we have. And so as a board member, if I am confirmed, I will definitely give that a lot of consideration. and bring to it not just my own experiences, but the experiences of Oregonians.
Okay. And Germany?
Yes. George Russell here, and I would only add that I don't have the answer for that, but I will say this, that in the years that I was a superintendent and had the opportunity to work with COSA in a number of small and rural school districts as the president of the Executive Administrators Association, I came to realize that we need to find and make sure we continue to support small and rural school districts. And any conversation about consolidation or looking at less ESDs, those kinds of things, need to really give serious consideration to the impact on small communities and rural communities and what impact that would have, particularly on those communities and the children in those communities.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any other questions, so we'll thank you both for your willingness to serve and let you go, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today. And I'll close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Marcia Michaels to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. And after we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from Dr. Jose Javier. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and senators of the committee. Thank you for your time and allowing me to introduce myself and to tell you why I'm interested in this position. My name is Marcia Michaels, and you may not know this, but I'm new to Oregon. And so when I found out about this board position, I thought this would be a really great opportunity for me to give to the residents of Oregon and, again, to my profession as well. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I have been practicing for over 20 years. I have been practicing in 6 states. And so I've been practicing in many different types of settings, too, in community, nonprofits, private practice, schools, with the justice system. So I've been practicing in a lot of different locations, a lot of different venues with a lot of different types of clients. I've also been an academic and educated the next generation of marriage and family therapists for about 16 years across multiple states as well, and been very much a part of curriculum and its need to prepare the next generation to be licensed professionals in their state. I am actually a member of AAMFT, which is the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, which is a national organization. And the national accrediting body for MFT schools is COAMPT. And so I'm a licensed, I'm an approved supervisor, and I've worked in COAMPT accredited programs across the nation. So anyway, I think I have a lot of clinical experience and educational experience. I was actually on the board that was similar to this board in Iowa, the Every state has a different name, behavioral science, I think. And I was co-chair of that board. So anyway, I would be honored to be able to serve the state.
Great. Well, thank you for taking this on, and welcome to Oregon. Any questions for Dr. Michaels? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again. And I'll close this public hearing. And next, open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Jose Javier to the Oregon Board of Dentistry. After we've heard from him, we'll be calling Beth Eva. And good afternoon. Thanks for your patience, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you for having me, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm Jose Javier. I am a general dentist. I have been practicing for 21 years, currently practicing for Willamette Dental Group in Portland. I'm what they call a managing dentist. I oversee 2 of their clinics. For about 14 of those 21 years, I've been in positions of director, manager. So I've had an opportunity to interview, hire, mentor, coach, and unfortunately also fire dentists when they are actually not practicing up to the standards that we expect. I love my profession, even when most people don't like coming to see me. And I think it is actually my responsibility to ensure that dentists are up to speed and well-educated on what they're supposed to be doing, but also educate and make sure that all services that are rendered are quality services and are rendered in a safe way with the patient's best interest in mind.
Great. Well, thank you for taking on another assignment. Do we have any questions for Dr. Javier? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again, and
thank you for
we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Beth Eva to the State Board of Direct Entry. Oh, are we after this? And after this, we'll go to the Oregon Medical Board. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm seeking appointment as a public member of the Board of Direct Entry Midwifery. My name is Beth Iva, actually. I live in Eugene. I'm an attorney, and I've been a practicing attorney for about 12 years. I have two children, ages 9 and 6, and both of them were born at home with the assistance of midwives. I feel very strongly that the experience of home birth can be empowering and with less medical interventions for both mother and child. My own births were very positive, and I believe that I owe that in large part to my educated, experienced, and professional midwives. Oregon has the highest rate of home birth in the nation. The work of the Board of Direct Entry Midwifery to establish standards, regulations, and guidelines for the practice of midwifery in our state is very important. And I'm really excited to be involved with this board. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. I'm a big fan of the TV show Call the Midwife. I don't
it's
know
a
if
great
you've
show.
Watched that.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And I actually was interested to learn after last night's episode that I think 1 in 5 babies born in Oregon are assisted at those births by midwives in our state.
That's right. I think that's why the work of the board is really important. It's an exciting time to be involved in it. Yeah.
Great. Do we have any questions for Ms. Iva?
Keep up the good work.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Jennifer Lyons, Dr. Robert Kahn, who will be joining us by phone, and Dana Rasmussen to the Oregon Medical Board. Hi, is this Dr. Robert Kahn?
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee, and here with me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Farrioli, as well as Senators Ginny Burdick, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Lee Beyer. And we've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Oregon Medical Board, as well as two other folks who are here in person. So why don't you go ahead and just restate your name for the record and tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Certainly. I'd like to thank you and the other members of the committee for allowing me to be there by phone today. I'm Dr. Robert Kahn. I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm a general surgeon practicing in Hillsborough at the Tuolumne Community Hospital. And I have a broad-based general surgery practice, including sort of oncology and critical care, colorectal surgery, and breast surgery. And after 24 years of practice, I now have the time and the experience to contribute, I think, to the Board of Medicine, and I'd be an honor to serve.
Great. Well, thank you. Why don't you stay with us for a minute, if you can, and we'll hear from the other two folks and then open it up for any questions.
So whoever, that sounds great.
Great. Whoever would like to go first, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyons. I'm part of Organized Specialists. I'm an ophthalmologist in Portland, East Portland, Gresham, and Seaside. And I did my training at OHSU, KCI Institute, where I finished in 1996. And prior to that, I did my training in Indiana and my internship at Emanuel Hospital in Portland. In my group, I've been on our the chair of our compliance committee pretty much all of those years, as well as the chair of our electronic record committee, which has been a challenge, and I've chose it and implemented it and have kept it running. And I hope to bring those things to the board, just some of my experience there. We have excellent medical care in Oregon, and I just hope to help to continue that legacy.
Great. Thank you.
My name is Dana Rasmussen, and I've been nominated to be a public member of the board, so I'm going to be with all these smart doctors if you approve this nomination. I, instead, am a recovering lawyer by training, but I've done my career in the public policy arena, and I've done lots of board service, and I've most recently been on the public Providence Health and Services System Board. So in that capacity, I've come to appreciate the importance of top-quality medical care, and so this will be an honor to be help participate in this area.
Great. We appreciate your willingness to serve. Do we have any questions for the doctors or our public member?
I just hope she does a great job with the electronic records. Mine ended up with a Russian, so therefore it didn't work so well here in Oregon at PEP. So.
Okay. Well, hopefully we won't have a repetition of that. And I don't see any other questions, so thank you again. And thank you, Dr. Khan, for joining us by phone.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Nicole Almanza and Dr. Lynn Reed-Jurofsky and Helen Moore and Dr. Bradford Stevens to the Board of Trustees of Eastern Oregon University. And I believe Nicole will be joining us by phone. Hi, is this Nicole Almanza?
Yes.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. Here in our hearing room in the Capitol are our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senator Ginny Burdick, Senator Lee Beyer, and Senator Brian Boquist. And we have just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Board of Trustees of Eastern Oregon University, and we also have some colleagues of yours here in the room. Why don't you go first, just state your name for the record and tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Okay, my name is Nicole Almanza. I am a student at Eastern Oregon University, and I come from Beaverton, Oregon. So I'm interested in being the student trustee because I really want to voice the students' opinions and I want to see this school thrive also. Currently I'm involved in many clubs on campus and organizations, including presidency of one club and hold an officer position in two other clubs. And then I also I'm involved with putting on diversity trainings and leadership trainings, and I am studying pre-optometry as well as health and wellness, so I have a foot in almost every department here around campus.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Nicole. And if you want to stay on the line, you'll be able to hear from the other folks being appointed to the board. So whoever would like to go first, go ahead.
My name is Helen Moore. I live in Union, Oregon, and have been employed as a staff member at Eastern Oregon University since 1980. I'm an alum. My daughter is an alum. And Eastern Oregon University is very near and dear to my heart. I've served on in various capacities on the shared governance process that we have at Eastern. I'm currently finishing second of two-year terms as a member of the State Board of Directors for our local 503 SEIU. Again, Eastern is very dear to me, and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to help guide it as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Senator Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Brad Stevens. I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon, and I live in Joseph. I've had a long and wonderful association with Eastern Oregon University over the years. That started way back in 1975 when I came to LeGrand to start a practice of orthopedic surgery. I became the team physician for Eastern and spent many, many hours walking up and down the sidelines of football games and other sports. I had the chance to care for many injured students, and also to help teach courses on sports injuries. The students at Eastern Oregon are very special. They are usually a first-generation student in their family, the first one to go to college. They're on scholarship, and they come from very small rural communities. When you care for a student, and especially when you operate on a student like this, you get to know them at a very deep level that you wouldn't otherwise know them. And I've learned to respect and admire these students. They're working so hard to improve their future. In addition to all that, I have been on the Eastern Oregon University's Foundation Board of Directors for a number of years and serve as its secretary. Also, my wife and I are in the process of putting together a scholarship for a student at Eastern. So as you can see, I'm very passionate about Eastern Oregon University and its students. I look forward to doing what I can to help them and prepare for the future. I feel very, very strongly that Eastern Oregon University is critical for the students, most of whom come from our eastern side of the state and usually from small communities. I also think it's important for Oregon to have a quality university on our side of the state. So I'm excited about having the opportunity to serve on the Board of Trustees of Eastern Oregon University, and I appreciate your considering my confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Linda Reed-Jarofsky. I am currently Associate Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, a professor of anthropology. I'm a native Oregonian and received my PhD and master's from University of Oregon in anthropology, master's of historical archaeology from University of Lesser England, and a bachelor's of anthropology from Appalachian State University. I'm deeply committed to Eastern Oregon University. Like my colleague at OSU who spoke earlier, I've taught probably well over 10,000 students over the last 16 years. The vast majority of students were indeed first-generation students who found a passion in higher education. And so my goal has been to reduce barriers in higher education, open up the world to students who might not have ever gone to higher ed without Eastern Oregon University being there. And I believe firmly in public service. In terms of my documentation, I've been involved with United Way, Rotary, and also have been involved in doing research with our federal and other public partners in our community. And in fact, I'd add, I used to work with Senator Farioli on the Malheur Forest when we taught Forest Days back in Seneca.
Great, okay. Well, thank you all for your willingness to serve. Do we have any questions for these good folks? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you go. Thank you, Nicole, for joining us by phone. We'll let you go, too. And
thank you.
We'll close the public hearing. And next, we'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Thomas Silterbo and Charles Larson to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. After we've heard from them, the next person will be joining us by phone. So. Hi, well, welcome to both of you. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and I'm sure it's interesting to hear from all these great people and hear about their backgrounds. So we are looking forward to hearing from both of you.
My name is Charles John Larson. For the record, I go by John, which is my middle name. I want to thank you for your time today, and thank you for the opportunity to serve on OEBB. I was born and raised in western Montana. I got my bachelor's degree at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, and have spent the vast majority of my life now teaching in north central Oregon, which some people call eastern Oregon, but it really isn't. I have been a teacher in Morrow County, started in Irrigan, Oregon, when it was consolidated with Boardman, and then transferred to the high school in Boardman for 9 years. In the last 15 years, I have been a teacher in Hermiston, Oregon, and I'm currently on leave of absence from Hermiston as I serve as the vice president of the Oregon Education Association. Over my years as a teacher in in Hermiston and in Morrow County, I spent a great deal of time bargaining contracts around healthcare, both outside of OEBB and under OEBB. I think what I bring to this board is the unique perspective of, first of all, a person who has been directly impacted by the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, as well as someone who's going to be eventually returning to that when I resume my career in Hermiston in a few years. living in a rural community, and especially in a border town, also gives us a really unique perspective. Many of our service providers are in Washington, and I know as we go further east to Ontario, many of their service providers are in Boise or in Idaho. And so it's a unique perspective on the impact of OEBB on some of its stakeholders in that part of the state. So again, thank you for the opportunity to serve, and happy to answer any questions.
Great. I think we'll hold questions so we've heard from both of you.
Senator Rosenbaum and other senators, thank you for your time. My name is Tom Siltebo. I'm a retired family medicine physician coming to Oregon in 1980 and spent 3 years with the National Service Corps, followed by 30 years with Kaiser Permanente. I've had a wonderful diverse career there, including family medicine, obviously direct patient care. I was the medical director at Best Kaiser Hospital, the chief of staff, and then for primary care services. In my last 5 years, I spent as the clinical quality representative, which meant I was the physician who would go off with, would represent Kaiser Permanente to large medical groups, to large customers such as OEB and PEB. So I actually spent about 5 years working with OEB as the Kaiser Permanente representative. As you say, I've retired now for the last 3 years. My interest during those last 5 years of Kaiser Permanente and is continuing has been around quality improvement, metrics, and other elements of healthcare improvement. I am the current board chair of the Oregon Healthcare Quality Corporation, and another out-of-the-blue request came. The previous physician who was supporting the benefit board had retired from that role, and I was asked to see if I had interest. So here I am before you. I have great interest in healthcare improvement in Oregon, and OEB is the leading bow. It's creating the bow wave in a lot of ways in Oregon. It's because of its innovative roles, its goals of looking at improvement both at the primary care level and trying to control the cost issues, because we all know that all the elements of the triple aim, improving health outcomes, controlling costs, and improving the patient experience is critical.
Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve, and good to see you again, Dr. Siltebo. I can attest to what a good doctor he is. And do we have any questions for either of these folks? Okay, I don't see any. So thank you again. We'll let you go. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing by phone on the reappointment of Jason Weiland to the Employment Relations Board. Hi, is this Jason Weiland?
Yes. Hi. Jason Weiland.
Weiland, I'm sorry. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, and with me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Farrioli, who has left the room for the moment. And we also have Senator Lee Beyer, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Brian Boquist here. And we just opened an appointment hearing on your reappointment to the Employment Relations Board. So please briefly state your name again for the record and tell us why you want to continue serving.
Certainly, and thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, and thank you again for also allowing me to send by phone. It's Japan's a long ways, so it would have been a little bit troublesome to make those details. I was appointed 4 years ago to the Employment Relations Board, and I believe in that time this agency has made a great deal of progress in making decisions significantly faster. We're updating our rules, updating our all of our systems internally so that we can be more efficient and effective. And I believe that the agency is fulfilling its statutory purpose with much greater efficiency than it has in many years. And I would just really love to be a part of that going forward and to at least try to keep improving for the next 4 years and to tackle whatever challenges come next. And unless there's any questions specifically, I imagine you guys have quite a few other people that are waiting too. So are there any questions from members of the committee or the chair?
Do we have any questions?
No. Oh, okay. Is the sake warm or cold?
Both.
And what time is it in Japan?
It is just a hair after 7 o'clock.
In the morning or in the evening?
In the morning. Ah. Yeah, in the morning. I'll be leaving today and coming back, arriving in Oregon earlier than I left.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much for fitting this into your schedule. And we'll thank you again and let you go and have a safe trip back.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Nasreen Khan to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. While she's coming forward, our next appointee will be Linda Castillo. And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for your patience. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Good afternoon, Chair, Senator Rosenberg, and committee senators. For the record, I'm Nasreen Khan, and I'm honored to have been nominated by the governor to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. I came to U.S. in 1999, and my husband and I live and work in Salem. I started my state government services with the Department of Human Services. I'm fortunate to have worked in various programs and managed many complex initiatives over the years for both the Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority. Currently, I work for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. My experience spans strategic planning, operation policy analysis, system development, project portfolio management, program management, data analytics, technical management. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration, master's degree in business administration with emphasis on information management. And soon I will be completing my doctorate in healthcare management and leadership. I serve as a commissioner on the Human Rights Commission and Relationship Committee, appointed by the mayor. I'm a board member of the Salem Peace Plaza. In the past, I have served on the Salem Public Library Foundation, Salem Multicultural Institute, and also as the vice president of the Project Management Institute. As a woman of ethnic minority and with my experience and education, which have been very rewarding and high-impact way of learning for me, I believe I'll make a positive and meaningful contribution to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board if appointed. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for this taking on this important assignment. Did we have any questions for Ms. Khan? Okay, I don't see any questions for you. So thank you again, and also thank you to all the family members who have come to support our nominees today. So I'll close the public hearing, and next to open a public hearing on the appointment of Linda Castillo to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. After we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from Anna Geller. And good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules
Committee. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for your time today. Yes, my name is Irma Linda Castillo, and I'm candidate for the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. And I hail from Portland, District 23, and I've been a resident now for 29 years here in Oregon. And I'm very appreciative to have this brief opportunity to talk with you today. Oftentimes when we speak about our communities, we speak about our ancestors. And for me, it's really important to let you know that I'm a daughter of Mexican immigrants and family members who passed back and forth across the Rio when the territory was a Mexican territory and when it was an American territory, a U.S. territory. My father came from Michoacán as a bracero through the farm Mexican farm labor agreement with the U.S., and my mother traveled back and forth also from Zacatecas. They worked as farm workers. And my great-grandmother eventually went on to own two restaurants, so a real broad spectrum of experiences that they've had in this country. I come from a family of firsts, a child of immigrants, first to complete high school, first to complete a master's degree in clinical psychology, and also the honor of having the opportunity to work in county government with nonprofit organizations and in educational institutions. In Spanish, we often say it's important to be well-educated, buen educado. It has two meanings. It has a meaning of being book smart, being educated, having gone to school, but it, of great importance, it also means it has a social basis to it. And it means having the kind of education that allows you to give back to your family and to your community with respect and dedication, with good acts of public service. And these are elements that are really important values to me. They're deep cultural and spiritual civic values for me. As a bilingual Latina, I've worked and lived among many Latinos from the variety of countries that we come from, which are over 22. In the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to run a leadership program, a statewide leadership program, and met many Latinos throughout the state and see the variety and diversity of the Latinos that we have in this community. So oftentimes we've had the experiences of enduring great bias and mistreatment despite a wealth of personal strengths and economic assets and personal assets. And for me, via the commission, my hope is to be able to bring further to highlight these assets and help address some of the disparities and advocate for positive integration and leveraging of all the resources that we have here in Oregon to keep our Oregon strong and vibrant. So any questions for me?
Do we have any questions?
Okay,
I don't see any. Thank you very much. And we'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Anna Geller to the Oregon Housing Stability Council. And after we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from Clyde Steike. Please join us, and thank you for waiting so patiently. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Anna Geller. And as noted, I'm a nominee for the Oregon Housing Stability Council, which is affiliated, as you know, with Oregon Housing and Community Services. I come today from unincorporated Clackamas County, where my company is headquartered. I'm a small business owner and formed my company about 23 years ago, primarily to assist local governments and community-based organizations outside of the metro area in developing community-appropriate affordable housing and bringing the resources financially and perhaps some training and skills for maintaining that housing. So that means I've worked in LeGrand and Hines and Roseburg and lots of places in the Willamette Valley over these years, culminating in a little bit over 3,100 affordable housing units. So I'm really interested in affordable housing. I think we're at a critical point in our recent history. And I think the agency itself has made great strides in the last 5 years, and there's more to do. What I hope to be able to bring to the agency is a perspective on cost containment and efficiency, which my thinking is we actually need to use what we have today to get more units in service. We seem to be stuck over the years at about 1,000 units a year, and the needs are growing tremendously. So if we took the funds that we have today and worked together carefully, wouldn't we be able to deliver a greater number of units? And I'm very confident that we would. So that's what I hope to work on, among other things. I really support what the agency is doing, and I think very highly of the staff, and I think they're ready to do everything they can to answer this problem.
Great. Well, thank you for taking on this assignment and for the work that you've already done in this area. And do we have any questions for Ms. Geller? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Minister. It might seem like an odd question, but in your testimony, you talked about using what we have now. It's very intriguing. I think I saw on one of the public broadcasting channels here within the last week a study on London, and they then did some correlations to major U.S. metropolitan areas in which the number of housing units in urban areas actually is increasing, but the problem is that instead of them being not multi-resident, but multi-apartments, that one individual is living in them, or they are vacant, and so the housing units exist, it's just they're not being able to be occupied, and that the actual residents living in them, like three-bedroom apartments, for example, they have one person living.
Right.
You see that? I mean, you seem to have some ideas here that are thinking outside of the box, so I was looking for your comments if that might be applicable to some of Oregon's urban areas.
to the urban areas, I think increasingly probably in the Portland metro area, that may be. I think we've seen some other areas that I have not worked that much in Portland by choice.
There's a lot of us said that way.
Well, it's not that Portland's bad. It's that Portland has a lot of resources and a lot of talent. So I prefer to work somewhere where I can actually feel like I'm helping people in a good way. So in that connection, I think Bend has had periods of time like that. Hood River, certainly. I saw Hood River go from just a regular town, an orchard town, to a very, very different community than it is today. And it was a dream they had to get tourism. But it's very hard for people to have year-round housing in Hood River now, for renters at least. And I should emphasize my background is in renting, and I'm not in the single-family business and don't know very much about it.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you again.
Thank you, members of the committee.
You go.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum.
And act on your appointment at the close of today's hearing, and I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Clyde Psyche as the director of the Department of Human Services. And after we've heard from him, we'll be calling Michael Swanson. Good afternoon.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, for the record, Clyde Psyche, and I'm the governor's nominee for the director of the Department of Human Services, and I'm honored that the governor nominated me for this important position in state government, and pleased to be here with you today to share my background with you. So I began my career in state government in 1986 with the Department of Human Services, and after 23 years there, in 2010, moved to the Oregon Department of the Transportation. Then in August of 2015, the governor asked me to assume the role of Chief Operating Officer for the state of Oregon and Director of the Department of Administrative Services. And Chair Rosenbaum, I appeared before your committee in September. And I remember at that point in time, Senator Boquist asked me why I would ever want to be the director of the Department of Administrative Services. So I'm really interested to see what questions he has for me today. However, in November of 2015, as many of you are aware, the Department of Human Services had a number of issues and some pretty serious issues, especially around child safety. So at that point in time, the governor asked me to step in and assume the role of interim director, with her top priority being for me to really improve the safety of children in our child welfare system. So in March, after having been in the department for a while, the governor and I had a conversation, and I had actually during the time I'd been there, been trying to recruit a permanent director for the department so I could return to DAS, and was not successful. And so in March, the governor and I had a discussion, and I agreed to stay on as the director if I was confirmed by the Senate. So since November, our real focus, a big area of focus for us, has been around client safety. And although I came to the department because of issues in child welfare, the focus was really around safety of all our clients. Really, it's children in the child welfare system, seniors, people with physical disabilities, and people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And I think we've made progress, but we still have a ways to go, and we have a lot of hard work in front of us. But I'm confident that with the caring and dedicated staff that we have at DHS, we'll be able to get the department back to where it should be and provide the level of service that Oregonians expect and deserve. And with that, I'll stop and see if anyone has any questions.
Senator Boquist?
Yes, ma'am. Clyde, thank you for volunteering for this, by the way. When Lynn Saxton came here, about 18 months ago, I asked her if she was recovering from her head injury. And I'll skip you that question. You've been here in September before. I think, as you know, the unfortunate lead up to your coming, being here before us, actually started several years ago. And, of course, unfortunately, my Senate district was on the 6 o'clock news on child safety issues time and time again over a short amount of time.
Right.
And Senator Gelser and I were
I won't even go into our thoughts at that particular time. And I think you kind of outlined to your own agency very recently, earlier this month, that, you know, you have to implement a culture of change here.
Absolutely.
Can you enlighten us a little bit, since I think you have recovered from this head injury? And, you know, it's a serious situation out there, and you're the one that's going to have to implement a culture of change, and
right.
yet you've been in the agency in the past.
Right. So, Chair Rosenbaum and Senator Boqvist, it really comes down to recommitting. For whatever reason, and I'm not going to speculate or go into why I think it happened, but the agency really seemed to have lost its focus and forgotten why we were here and what our priorities should be. And for me, you know, when you deal with the most vulnerable people in the state of Oregon, there's no greater priority than the safety of those people entrusted in your care. We owe it to them as well as to their families. And so it's really a matter of reminding people and reinforcing over and over again that our number one priority is the safety of our clients. And if people are not getting the message or not being able to get where we need to go to, then it's our responsibility to hold them accountable for that type of behavior. We've already made a few leadership changes. You know, there will probably be more changes I'll have to make. But it really is kind of that constant reinforcement and then holding people accountable so that they know that this is why we're here, this is what our job is, and this is what we have to commit to.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Farrioli.
Mr. Sackey and I have had candid discussions about on the similar topic of culture change within the agency. I think the issue that is needs to be addressed is the concept of the agency's definition of confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
When legislators over time have asked to be or have tried to exercise their responsibility for legislative oversight, the agency has refused to share, refused to cooperate, and misinformed and lied to, maintained of fraudulent documentation in files, hidden files, really conducted itself in a way that reaffirms that the folks in the agencies in middle management positions are not accountable to anyone, not to their supervisors, not to you, and not to legislators. We had ample opportunity to demonstrate specific cases where those exact issues occurred to our satisfaction that they occurred. So I guess I'll be looking to you for help to try to frame a different approach to confidentiality where we protect the identities of family members, but with the information on decision making and how the law was applied is shared with legislators so that legislative oversight, which is our function, can be fulfilled. Otherwise, your agency culture will never change.
Right.
And they will outweigh you as they have others. So I'm happy to have you aboard. I'm glad, in a perverted way, Madam Chair, I'm glad you couldn't find anybody else who wanted to do the job. Because it may be somebody who doesn't really want the job that's going to have to do the kind of new broom change in culture that's necessary. DHS has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons for too long.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Chair Rosenbaum and Vice Chair Farrioli, you and I have had several discussions, and I've taken your comments to heart. I think that at times the department is hidden behind the cloak of confidentiality when we actually have not shared as much information as we could have shared. And to be honest with you, that in some cases it's really to our disadvantage not to share information with you because in not being able to do that, you hear one side of the story and don't really get to hear the other side of the story and don't get a complete picture. So I truly believe that we have to share as much information as we can, and at times not doing that actually works to our disadvantage. And so it's something we're really looking at. And I want to be as transparent and I think the more information we share, the more understanding people we will have about why we make the decisions we do. And quite honestly, if we make the wrong decision, then we need to own that, and we need to be held accountable. We don't always make the right decision, and I'll be the first to admit it. But when that happens, we've got to own it, we've got to fix it, and then we've got to be accountable.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Thank you, Mr. Psyche. I think you've answered our questions, and we wish you well. This would be a challenging assignment at any time, but especially
thank you,
Senator. Become so recently.
Okay. And Madam Chair, if he wants to blame the legislature for cleaning house, that's perfectly fine.
Okay, thank you again. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Michael Swanson to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. And after we've heard from him, we'll be hearing from Dr. Scarpered. Welcome. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Chair Rosenbaum and senators, thank you for being so patient. My name is Mike Swanson. I live in Lake Oswego, moved there in 1986 from Denver, and have been nominated for the citizen vacancy in the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. As far as the questions of why I want to participate in skills, let me move from sort of the general to the specific. I spent 37 years in local government, and what I found is that my experience taught me that a critical part of the machinery of success were our citizen volunteers, whether it was a library board, a planning commission, design review committee. We employed citizen volunteers, and I want part of that. Now, sitting here and watching what goes on here and watching the videos of your last two hearings, I'm excited about what goes on, and I'm excited to become part of the citizen volunteer process in the state. As far as skills, I've, again, 37 years in local government. I do have, I think, a pretty good background in public process, budgeting, rate making, dealing with issues of public import, and I am very interested in continuing to employ those. As far as the board is concerned, before I made application, I spent some time looking into the board's mission and the board's goals and objectives, and they interest me. Of course, the primary consideration of the board, according to the statute and their mission statement, is public safety. And when you go into the objectives, there are, I think, a number of areas that I find very interesting, including support of waterborne commerce, the ecology of the waterway system, and again, waterway safety. Now that I've gone from sort of the general to more specific, I'm going to admit to a certain amount of selfishness, because there will be a steep learning curve. I'm 67. I've spent the last 5 years retired. I'm ready to exit retirement. It has not been everything that it's sort of pumped up to be. I want to continue to learn. Steep learning curve doesn't scare me. In fact, it excites me. I have spent time with the staff of the board, and I'm excited. There are big issues coming down, and I'm excited to get started to learn about the board, about pilotage, and to start tackling some of those issues. With that, I do want to make quick mention of two people. The governor's staff, Mary, and your committee staff, Aaron, have been exceptional. I can't imagine trying to herd all of us cats. And they have been exceptional in terms of providing information and making sure that we all understood what was going on and what was to be expected of us. And I think they both deserve a great deal of thanks for that. So with that, Chair Rosenbaum and senators, thank you very much for considering this nomination, and thanks for your patience.
Thank you. Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve and also for the shout-out for our staff and the governor's staff. We indeed experience their high caliber of work on a regular basis. So do we have any questions for Mr. Swenson? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Robert Scarperud to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine. And after we've heard from him, we'll be hearing from Lily Hogue. And again, thank you for your patience, and we're looking forward to hearing from you as well.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Dr. Robert Scarperud. I am from Bend, where I have practiced family naturopathic medicine for people of all ages for over 11 years. I'm honored to appear before you today and appreciate your time in considering me for appointment as a physician member to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine. I welcome this nomination because of my desire to give back to my profession. I'm grateful for the opportunities it has afforded me. And I also believe it is of paramount importance to share the board's vision of protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the public in the matters that come before the board.
Get him out of that.
I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I have a Bachelor's of Science in Zoology from the University of Washington. I have a Master's of Science in Nutrition and Nutrition Policy from Tufts University in Boston. And I received my naturopathic physician's degree at Bastyr University. I think that my practice location, being in Central Oregon, and my training will complement our board nicely. We currently have no representative from the east side of the mountains. I'll extend the same thoughtful, conscientious, fair, and thorough care to matters before the board that I extend my patients. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Okay, well, thank you for your willingness to serve and for traveling. I'm sure you will be traveling some to these meetings.
Yes.
And for coming here today. Any questions for Dr. Scarperud? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again, and I'll close the public hearing. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Lillian Hogue to the Nursing Home Administrator's Board. After we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from Dr. Louis and Dr. Trenis. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Lily Hogue. I'm very excited to be here today. Chair Rosenbaum, I happen to also be in your district, in Senate District 21. So I'm excited to be a nominee for the Nursing Home Administrators Board because I currently work at Family Forward Oregon, and we work on care policy, particularly as it relates to children and families with younger children. But in my previous work, I lived in the UK and worked on quality and training pathways for folks working with on elder care and caregivers, and in particular a lot about providing quality, accessible, and affordable care for the eldest members of our community. So this is kind of an exciting way to combine both of those interests I have in the care cycle. I have a master's from the London School of Economics, particularly in care economics and family policy, and I'm excited to be a nominee for this. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for bringing your expertise to a new assignment. Do we have any questions for Ms. Hogue? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Dr. Derek Louie and Dr. Stephen Trenis to the Oregon Board of Optometry. And next we'll be hearing from Rachel DeBarmer. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and we're looking forward to your testimony. So whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum and other senators, and Committee Administrator Aaron. I appreciate your work also. My name is Stephen Trenis, and I appreciate you pronouncing it correctly. Almost nobody does. That was impressive. My background is varied. I was 5 years active duty and 16 years reserves, retired as lieutenant colonel. From there, went to Baker City, then to John Day, currently in Roseburg, was in a single doctor solo practice, and now in a multi-doctor, multi-location practice. I think I bring a varied background. They say sometimes with age comes wisdom, and I'm hoping I have some of that. Thank you.
We all hope. Okay, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Derek Louie. I'm a clinical associate professor at Oregon Health and Science University at KCI Institute, Department of Ophthalmology. And I hope this opportunity to serve on the Oregon Board of Optometry ensures that the citizens of Oregon continue to get to receive excellent eye care.
Great. Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve. Do we have any questions for the good doctors? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again. We'll let you go, and I will close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Rachel DeBarmer to the State Board of Pharmacy. And after we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from a group being appointed to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. Hi, welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Rachel DeBarmore. Thank you for the same pronunciation. I currently live in Kaiser, Oregon, have been a licensed pharmacist in the state of Oregon for nearly 18 years. I've primarily worked in the community pharmacy setting in a variety of roles, from staff pharmacist to director of pharmacy. I'm currently a district manager with Rite Aid. I oversee the operations of 27 pharmacies in the Portland Metro Market. Community pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare providers. Patient safety and good health outcomes are our highest priority. My experience at the ground level, as well as higher levels of management, have prepared me for this role. As the profession is evolving and pharmacists are becoming more diverse and involved in patient care, it is very important that our professional representation on the board is also diverse. I feel I have the depth of knowledge and experience to represent not only the pharmacists, but also ensure the highest level of safety for our patients. I look forward to serving the citizens of Oregon as a member of the Board of Pharmacy.
Great. Well, thank you for taking this on. And do we have any questions for Mr. Barmore? Okay. I don't see any. Thanks again. And if the folks from DPSST can hold tight for a minute, we are going to have one. Oh, we are. Okay. Okay, well, then I take that back. I'll close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Officer Juan Ariza, Patricia Connolly, Casey Duncan, James Oder, and Chief John Teague to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. And if all of you would like to come forward, and we'll have three of you come forward, and then I think the other two can go next. Actually, are there four? One, two, three. Yeah, there are five. Okay. Great. Whoever wants to go first, just go right ahead.
So I'm front and center. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. My name is Casey Duncan. I'm proud to represent the LOC as a candidate for this committee. I have a career in local government service and as such recognize that the number one public good that we provide is the public health, safety, and welfare. Had the opportunity to work with our fire department in Salem, as well as serving as an acting city manager, working very closely with the police department, recognize the importance of standards and training in being mentally, physically, and morally fit to perform the duties to protect the public. And thank you for this opportunity.
Great. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman. My name is James Ader. I'm with Nistucca Fire District. I'll be representing the Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association on this board. I have 35 years of background in the fire service, 29 as a volunteer. My last 7 has been the paid training officer for Nistucca. With the background, I think I can bring a lot of good experience to this committee and help with the decisions made in the fire size.
Great. And your last name is pronounced Ader?
Ader.
Great. Thank you.
Hello, Madam Chair, Senators. My name is Juan Miguel Ariza. I go by Mike. I moved to Oregon in 2001 to this area, specifically Kaiser, where I've been living ever since. I worked in Oregon law enforcement since 1998, starting with the Department of Corrections and then moving over to the police side for the Malheur County Sheriff's Office, City of Nissa, and currently City of Woodburn, where I've been for the last almost 15 years. I'm also an instructor, presenter with the LECC, or Law Enforcement Contacts Data Review Committee, through Portland State University, and teach all across the state. I'm a nominee for the non-management position for the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. It is an honor to be nominated for this position, and I feel with the opportunities I get to travel around the state teaching, presenting, and meeting different peers, it'll give me a good insight and an opportunity to hear what it is that they feel is needed for me to give feedback to the Board. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, all three, and we'll let you step back and have the other two folks come. Well, actually, before you leave, let me just ask, are there any questions? Okay, I don't see any. So we'll have our other two nominees come forward. Just go ahead, introduce yourself, and tell us a little about why you want to serve.
Sure. My name is John Teague. I'm the Chief of Police of Kaiser, Oregon. Prior to that, I was the Chief of Police in Dallas, Oregon. I continue to live in Center Boquist District. I was instrumental in the establishment of the Center for Policing Excellence, the Oregon Knowledge Bank, which is a depository of the effective policing tactic in Oregon. I'm on the Oregon Chiefs Board of Executive Board and the Legislative Committee. I'm on the Oregon Law Enforcement Leadership Forum, which is a collaboration of the Chiefs Associations, the Sheriff's Associations, District Attorneys Association, as we tend to or seek to align our efforts for public safety in Oregon. I'm also a member of the House Bill 3194 Public Safety Task Force. And importantly, I'm a member of the Oregon Youth Development Council and the Oregon Department of Education. Youth Development Council seeks to establish the policy, how Oregon is going to approach its youth, especially its at-risk youth and its youth who are at risk of being at risk, around workforce development, educational attainment, and crime prevention. I'm also on the Governor's DMC, Disproportionate Minority Contacts Planning Committee. I'm on the House Bill 2002 Law Enforcement Profiling Task Force. And I mention those last three because it's important, I think, for you to know that I have a sincere passion for fair and effective and impartial policing in Oregon, especially as we introduce evidence-based policing to Oregon's police officers through DPSST. The staff at DPSST have done a really good job of inculcating that through the Center for Policing Excellence, and I'm happy to join them and continue that inertia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators of the Committee. I'm honored to speak to you of my interest in the appointment to the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. My name is Patricia Connolly, and I'm a captain with the Bend Fire Department, and I've served with the Bend Fire Department for 16 years. I'm also the union president for the Bend Firefighters Association. I've served in this position for 3 years and various other positions on the executive board for 14 years. I've dedicated my career to public safety and provided my community with excellent service. And I've dedicated myself as a union officer to those I work with. As a captain, my responsibility is to ensure that my crew provides the highest standards, highest level of service to every member of the community and every emergency call. We ensure that we are able to provide this excellent care through continuous training in every facet of our occupation. DPSST provides these standards and training and also provides exceptional classes to ensure firefighters are able to perform at their highest levels. As I've grown in my career, I've become more interested in regional and national fire service development. Currently, I'm in the Executive Fire Officers Program at the National Fire Academy in Emmitsburg, Washington. And that mission of that program is to ensure that we have fire service leaders who are integral in shaping the public service industry to meet the changing needs of our community. It would be an honor to continue my growth in this area, representing the Oregon State Firefighters Council on the state level of the DPSST board, and the mission to develop professional standards and quality training and promote excellence in public safety. Thank you for your consideration.
Great. Well, thank you both for your willingness to serve. Do we have any questions for these folks? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Actually, I don't have a question. And the chief can take notes because he can remind everybody else.
I just want to bring up to your attention as future board members, which I'm sure you're all going to be, the legislature 3 years ago, in our mental health bills and then following up in funding in the previous full session, took a keen interest in ensuring that mental health intervention training transpired in Oregon. We actually funded that program. Unfortunately, due to management shortfalls of the Oregon Health Authority, it kind of has, other than Marion County, it has kind of fizzled. During the last short session a few months ago, the director of BPSST has kind of taken that under his arm to jumpstart that program that has been funded by the legislature, and frankly kick OHA in the posterior and keep this moving. And that mental health intervention training, as a both officer and a chief will attest to you, is critical in identifying things up front and de-escalating situations. And again, unfortunately, it is a program that we funded. We intended to already be in place, and there have been some challenges in its implementation at the Oregon Health Authority. And so I would ask you as future board members to continue to remind the director and take a personal interest in that. And if there are continued less than cooperative efforts from the Oregon Health Authority, please advise the members of the legislature. It's a critical component, and it impacts everybody from first responders
Absolutely. All
the way across the board. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Senator Boquist, and thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and so we'll close this public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Linda Nishi Stratner to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. She'll be joining us by phone. Hi, is this Dr. Linda Nishi Stratner?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Rules Committee. Here with me are our committee members, Senator Lee Byers, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Brian Boquist. And we've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. So if you could just restate your name for the record and then briefly tell us why, about your background and why you'd like to serve. So please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Linda Nishi Stratner. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and the Senate Interim Committee members for your time and for the opportunity to speak to your committee by telephone. It really helps me out in terms of my clinical caseload here up in Portland. I am a board-certified clinical psychologist at, conducting a private practice in the greater Portland area. I have a Master's of Science and a doctorate, a PhD in clinical psychology from Ohio University. And for the past 32 years, I've been working in Oregon in the capacity of adult, family, group, child, psychotherapy, psychiatric inpatient treatment, psychological evaluations, and some consultation. I've also been a disaster mental health worker with the American Red Cross, and I have been on an adjunct faculty at Lewis and Clark College for 15 years, from 1987 to 2002. I also have served for a number of years when we had oral exams on the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners as an ad hoc oral examination committee member. I've had previous experience with public service, serving on the Oregon Commission on Children and Families from 1995 to 2001 for 6 years, ending in my resignation in order to respond with the American Red Cross to the 9/11 bombing in New York. I've learned through that experience that the government is simple, and that even when the answers seem obvious to me, there's always a place and an opportunity for more debate and negotiating. I'm interested in serving on the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners because the ethical issues that are at the heart of the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners have shaped and guided the lifelong development and evolution of my clinical practice. And because I'm at a point in my career where I believe I can commit the time and effort to take board membership seriously. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay, well, thank you for everything you've already done and for taking on an additional assignment. Did we have any questions for Dr. Nishi Stratner? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we will let you go and act on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment and reappointment of Lisa Hardy and Stephen Bloom to the Public Utility Commission. After we've heard from them, we'll next be calling Gordon Anslow. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently and listening to so many great Oregonians. And we're looking forward to hearing from you as well.
Why do we have vacancies?
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, senators on the committee. My name is Lisa Hardy. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm grateful for the chance to tell you a little bit about my background and my interest in the Oregon Public Utility Commission. I currently work at a law firm called Troutman Sanders in Portland. I've been working there since 2013 with their Federal Energy Regulatory Group. Before that, from 2008 to 2013, I actually worked as an administrative law judge at the Oregon Public Utility Commission. So I am familiar with the commission, with their dedicated staff, with the various stakeholders that practice before the commission. My state energy work actually goes back further, about 16 years. I started working in Austin, Texas before the Texas Public Utility Commission. At the time, the state of Texas was deregulating its retail electric market, so that was a very, very busy time for state regulatory work. I then moved to Seattle, where I did some work in front of the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission, but also worked with a group that included the California Public Utility Commission and the California Attorney General's Office, working on issues that were that stemmed from the California energy crisis. I view the position of commissioner at the Oregon PUC as a very important one. It's an opportunity to be involved in the very complex, ever-evolving energy issues facing the state of Oregon. I'd be grateful for the opportunity, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Steve Bloom. I'm a nominee for the Oregon Public Utility Commission. I've been a commissioner since 2011. Before that, I was general counsel for a wind energy company. Before that, I headed up a judicial reform program in Armenia. Before that, I was a Peace Corps volunteer. Before that, I was a water rights lawyer in Pendleton and the part-time U.S. magistrate judge in Eastern Oregon. I'm honored to be nominated again. The work we do at the commission is very interesting. It's challenging, it's very important, and it's enjoyable. And if confirmed, I welcome the opportunity to serve again. That concludes my remarks, and I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Okay. Thank you both. Any questions? Yes.
Go ahead, both the nominees know that they will not be able to deny a rate case brought by investor-owned utilities if the rate case is connected to mandated solar and wind power. I just want to hear them both acknowledge that they know they will not be able to deny an increase in that situation.
Well, Senator, yes, we conduct our rate cases according to the law, and if the law requires or allows a utility to do X or Y, then we would certainly comport with the law.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted folks to know that there was a sea change in the last legislative meeting that stripped the PUC from the authority it had to set rate cases in certain circumstances where RPS mandates were involved. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Do we have any additional questions? Yes, Senator Beyer.
Just a general question. I'm curious. Obviously, the attention has been on energy, but you also do telecommunications. And I'm wondering if you have any ideas or suggestions on a telecommunications broadband policy for the state.
Well, Senator, Madam Chair, Senator, when you and I met, we talked about telecom and the fact that there are an awful lot of complaints that have been made with regard to telecom to the PUC, and I've checked with Phil Boyle, who heads up our consumer division, and Brian Conway, who's the head of telecom. And they've met with the telecom companies, and they are very cognizant of the number of complaints that have been made, and a lot of those the complaints against those two companies have been reducing. With regard to regulation, a lot of the regulation has been preempted by the FCC.
And so a lot of the opportunities that the state has with regard to regulating telecoms has evaporated. The last thing the FCC did was to pass an order, I believe a couple of weeks ago, that removes the opportunities for the state commissions to evaluate eligible telecom carriers, and that deals with the Universal Service Fund. So a lot of the, for an example, our state commission does an excellent job in terms of addressing fraud, waste, and abuse in telecom, especially with regard to USF. And in fact, when I was at one of the NARUC conferences, they asked us to bring the gentleman that runs that program at the PUC, and he made a presentation. And universally, everyone on the telecom committee was very impressed with the way that Oregon addresses waste, fraud, and abuse. And that gentleman's name is John Cray. He does an excellent job. And in fact, a lot of the people from around the country wanted to hire him away, but fortunately, he's loyal to Oregon. So there are a lot of incursions or lost opportunities that state commissions have endured over the last few years, probably since the 96 Telecom Act, where we've been preempted by the FCC.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Senator Boqvist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Beyer prompted me to point another observation that's out there. And that is as we have federal incursions into the what used to be the domain of the state of Oregon, and we have rising technology that's across the room, because I roll out here, and the good news is most of your other appointees are out here. They don't have to listen to us or sometimes to you, because they can sit there with their iPhones, you know, do their other business that's right there. But that brings me back to an electrical issue and the set of standards we utilize in Oregon. And I only bring this to your highlight because, as you see, phones have high technology. We just argued over gigabits or whatever it was in the short session. Senator Hass and I were trying to figure out this Google Yahoo thing and all this technology. But intrinsically, modern manufacturing and modern equipment is now very sensitive. It's like on the RPS issue and fuels and ethanols. Because of modern equipment on small engines, the carburetors are smaller, they're more detailed, and actually it's a complex problem. It's not just ethanol and things like that. They've gotten more sensitive. Likewise, modern manufacturing equipment, I have a plant in my district, its phasing tolerances are probably half of what is allowable in the state of Oregon because it's manufactured in Western Europe and elsewhere. And I just raised to the issue of the PUC, and I see someone from the Cub back there too, is that in order to compete in modern markets, we may need to go back at some, to some of our laws that we have now and increase and refine those if we want to be competitive. Because, you know, this body of law was done before some people were in the legislature, and it's pretty old. And I just point that out to you because it was a learning lesson to me to find out that, you know, we are actually importing equipment from overseas to going to manufacturing facilities in Oregon, and they are so intolerant to our phasing because of the European model that they're not able to run. And it's a situation where our laws aren't necessarily archaic, but may need to be updated and changed for the future. And of course, the legislature will not make life easy for you, and I'm certain we'll tamper around the edges of all of these laws that are out there.
So.
Senator, actually, I am familiar at a very high level or superficial level with regard to that issue that you're talking about with the plant over in your district. And other than just having read a couple of articles about it, I am not capable of understanding it at this point. But we have really very smart and dedicated employees at the PUC. We have 130 of them that, if it comes up, we'll be able to address them.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any other questions, so we'll thank you both and
thank you.
Let you go. And I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Gordon Anslow to the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board. And after we've heard from him, we'll be calling Michael Harriman. Good afternoon. Thank you for waiting so patiently, and we are looking forward to hearing from you.
It's been very interesting. Good afternoon. Thank you for hearing me out, Chair Rosenbaum and other committee members. My name is Gordon Anslow. I live in Eugene, and I've been nominated for the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board. Briefly, I've been and currently employed. I have a co-owned a business with another fellow in Eugene for 31 years that builds a lot of single family and a fair bit of about 500 units so far of multifamily housing. Earlier, prior to doing that, I worked for an engineer's firm in Eugene that had a strong emphasis in both in building design, but also fire and life safety consulting, code consulting, and somewhat unusually provided the public sector with administration of building codes in the form of inspections and plan checking for a number of cities around Oregon. So I've been very fortunate to get a very broad-based sort of education in my field. We're a design-build company, and we help take individuals and other customers for commercial projects from soup to nuts through the whole process. As such, we are involved heavily in a lot of land use, building code issues, and everything else that it takes to put structures up. So I feel I'm flattered to be asked to do this, and I feel like I bring a pretty broad-based education to whatever comes before us.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking on this assignment. Did we have any questions for Mr. Anslow? Okay. It looks like you answered all our questions, so I'll thank you again and let you go, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. So I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment, and you can go.
Thank you.
And I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Michael Harriman as the State Resilience Officer, and next we'll hear from the appointees to the Board of Tax Practitioners. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farioli. I'm Mike Harriman, the governor's nominee to serve as the State Resilience Officer. I'm honored that the governor has nominated me for this important position, and I'm glad to be here today to share with you my background and answer any questions you may have. I'm an Oregonian and reside in Senate District 20. I'm a veteran of the Gulf War, retired after 22 years in 1999 as a senior non-commissioned officer. I hold a master's in emergency and disaster management and a bachelor's degree in business management. I started my state work at the Department of Fish and Wildlife in 99 and moved to the Public Health Division in 2003. In 2006, I was selected to oversee the division's Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program. In the last 10 years, I've held this role, and it provided me a great opportunity to build public health, healthcare, and preparedness and resiliency efforts with partnership with local, tribal, state, and federal partners. I was Oregon Health Authority's representative on the Governor's Task Force for Resiliency in 2013 and 2014. This position was identified as an immediate action stemming from recommendations of the task force so that the executive branch can start to direct, implement, and coordinate seismic safety planning, resiliency goal setting, and state agency planning and preparation to improve seismic safety and resiliency. This work, resiliency, will never be done completely in my lifetime. But I'm here now to offer my services to move and coordinate the combined efforts of the executive branch forward so that my kids and generations that follow will have a better, stronger critical infrastructure in their lifetime. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking on this important assignment. Did we have any questions for Mr. Harriman? Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things, less questions and more information. The legislature, I think, as you know, in 2005, started down the road of resiliency. And that's, of course, what, a decade ago? Kind of like being in the military, you know, right? Something. It takes a long time. At the time, we picked, interesting enough, Senator Verger and I co-chaired that committee. And the list, I think, as you know, and you addressed the Cascadia issue, included everything from in those days and today, terrorism, cyber attacks, earthquake, pandemic, which you're quite familiar with in your entity. And we kind of settled on Cascadia, figuring that if you could survive a Cascadia, you could survive everything else.
And I bring that point up because it's wider than Cascadia, as you well know. But also, since 2005 to now, the present tabletop exercise that is going to be in June, which I believe you're probably familiar with,
yes.
The new FEMA federal combination state modeling, we'll just say, is much more severe than we thought before. And I think that computer modeling is because we've done some changes since Japan and Chile and elsewhere. And so I would, as you've pointed out, even though it's taken us a decade to get to today and two of our hearings, I would suggest that, you know, you're going to have to get up and move fast. And I think we, the president's office and the good senator to my left, were almost startled when we looked at some of the new planning assumptions that are being done for Cascadia, because they are even beyond things we thought were challenging. Looking for the right word here. So I wish you the best of luck on that, and I'm not sure when you start, but I guess we'll probably see you at the Cascadia event. So.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, if confirmed, I'll start the following day.
Good answer.
I'm well aware of these challenges, and I believe there's not going to be a honeymoon period between once this confirmation if it is made to myself. I look at the Cascadia event of several years ago, as I told some members earlier in meetings, that people didn't want to talk about catastrophic planning. It scared them, or they just didn't, they were in denial of it. I think over the last 3 or 4 years, state agencies in particular have addressed with the Cascadia playbook an opportunity to really finite their plans. In public health, we focus on medical surge, plate number two, life safety. And I believe those are probably some of the most critical ones. But with limited resources already in the state, on the coast and in the valley, being heavily dependent upon our federal partners to deploy into Oregon, it's mind-blowing as far as the complexity of that and how those pieces get overlaid on each other. And with limited ground transportation and aviation resources, it'll be very hard to save everyone, and so there's a lot of hard decisions are going to have to be made, some here at the policy level by this body, the legislative body, and others at the local community level, because it's really where it's all at, is at the local level.
Well, good luck. Good luck with those 911 people, by the way.
Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you.
And we'll let you go. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Stephanie Compton and Antoinette Payne to the State Board of Tax Practitioners. And the next one will be on the phone. Okay. Great. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for your patience. And whoever wants to go first, please go ahead.
Age before beauty.
Okay.
So thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and senators of this committee. My name is Stephanie Compton, and I'm from Cottage Grove, South Lane. I'm a licensed tax consultant. I'm an enrolled agent. I'm the designated consultant for H&R Block. But most importantly, I am a nominee for the State Board of Tax Practitioners, and I'm so very excited. I greatly appreciate this opportunity to speak with you today. I offer a unique perspective as it regards one of the board's major functions, namely the state board exam, which one must pass to become a tax preparer in the first place. I've personally experienced many of the facets of this diamond. Each has its own variables that come into consideration when you look at this project as a whole. I develop our state-related materials for H&R Block to not only get our basic course approved, but to also prepare the students to successfully pass the state board exam, not just the sponsor's exam. So not only do I train the trainers on how to present the material, I also teach at least two sets of this 84-hour course myself. I annually volunteer to proctor the state exam administered here in Salem, so I get a firsthand look at how the students react to the exam itself. How many are spending too much time with their face in the pups, wasting too much time? How many people are in and out of there? And how many people wait till that last second? In June, I volunteer on the board's item writing committee, and we help update the test for the next year, and we get to give our advice on the validity of some of the questions and how nice it will be to have a voice behind that advice. Some of these questions don't deserve to be there. I see this from the perspective of the sponsor, training development, from the exam development, and from the students themselves. I look forward to sharing my ideas with the board and helping to implement progress. And in closing, since I have survived this minute, I'd like to consider myself as positively passionate versus arguably argumentative. I thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, and please go ahead.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to be here today. I am honored to be nominated for the consideration of the Board of Tax Practitioner. For the record, my name is Antoinette Payne. I have an executive Master's of Business Administration from the University of Oregon. I currently work at the Multnomah County Health Department as a finance supervisor. In my portfolio, I'm responsible for cash management, medical billing, and fiscal compliance. I serve on various boards of the community, such as North by Northeast and the African American Outdoor Association. I'm interested in serving on the Tax Practitioner Board because of the potential to improve the educational requirements that enhance the licensee's knowledge of the tax law, which protect the public and especially the most valuable, vulnerable populations. I'm also committed to the consumers by ensuring that the tax professionals are competent and ethical in their professional experience. With my experience in compliance and understanding of the laws and rules governing tax protection preparation, I believe I will be a great asset to this board. Thank you for your consideration.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you both. It's great to see so much excitement about taxes. Okay. Do we have any questions for these good folks? I don't see any, so thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Vincent Jones to the Board of Trustees of Oregon Institute of Technology. He's joining us by phone. Hi, is this Vincent Jones?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Senator Diane Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. And here with me are our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Jenny Burdick. And we've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Board of Trustees of the Oregon Institute of Technology. So if you could just restate your name for the record and then tell us briefly why you'd like to serve and a little about your background.
Okay, great. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Vincent Jones. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you today about my nomination to the Oregon Institute of Technology Board of Trustees. I am an Oregon Tech alum, recently retired from a 31-year career as a civil engineer, mostly with the City of Los Angeles, where I was able to work on some interesting projects, including building new animal exhibits for the Los Angeles Zoo. And I was also involved in the coordination and moving of the Space Shuttle Endeavor from Los Angeles International Airport to its final destination about 12 miles away at the California Science Center, just to name a few. These opportunities would not have been possible without the education and really the life lesson I received at Oregon Tech. It's where I learned about engineering, but it's also where I learned how to become a responsible adult. So having an opportunity to serve my alma mater and becoming a member of the Board of Trustees would be an honor and my privilege. If I am confirmed, I will work hard to bring a unique perspective to the board based on my skills, knowledge, and abilities as an engineer, as a project manager, and as a manager of people and large-scale projects. So again, thank you very much for your consideration.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for Mr. Jones? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again. We'll let you go about your business, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing.
Thank you again.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Donnell Davis to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. It's been a long day. Thank you for your patience as well. My name is Danelle Davis. I am a veterinarian from Astoria. I grew up in Portland in Southwest Hills. I attended Bridal Mile and Wilson High School. I then obtained my veterinary medical degree as part of the University of London at the Royal Veterinary College in England. I currently own and operate a single doctor hospital in Astoria, Oregon. So earlier we talked about the Cascadia Zone, for which I'm very familiar. Also, thank you for this opportunity to let me meet you and explain to you how excited I really am to be a part of the Veterinary Examining Board. Mostly, I'm excited to be a part of this board and play a role in the leadership of my beloved profession. I look forward to doing my best to understand and support the Veterinary Practice Act and to allow and encourage veterinarians to practice the best possible medicine as we all love our pets. Thank you.
Indeed, we do.
yes, you do.
So any questions for Dr. Davis? Well, I have to ask you, just since you got your training in England, are there big differences in the practices of veterinary medicine between England and the United States?
Yes, there are. There seems to be a difference in the view of how animals are. Over there, it seems like animals are more considered sentient beings than they are here. And with that comes more of a human responsibility to their care and welfare than I personally see over here. So yes, I do think that there's a difference. There's room for improvement, and I look forward to being part of that.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve.
Excellent. Thank
and
you.
We will act on your appointment at the close of the hearing.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Kimberly Olson to the Commission for Women. Next, we'll be hearing from Stephen Lanning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for waiting patiently and listening to all these good folks, and we are eager to hear from you.
Wonderful. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly Olson, and I am a governor-appointed nominee for the Oregon Commission for Women. I am currently employed at the Oregon State Treasury as a policy analyst in the Executive Division, but prior to that, I was a diplomat with the U.S. Department of State, serving overseas and in Washington, D.C. The reason that I'm interested in this committee is my overseas experience and what I've seen as the implementation of public policy on gender issues overseas that I believe could help Oregon women when we talk about difficulties in gender equity, problems of lack of affordable child care, and the lack of paid family leave. And as a mother of two young children, I know that I share these difficulties with tens of thousands of Oregon women, and I'm quite interested in working as an advocate to work towards better public policy when we talk about these issues. So I'm happy to be here today and that I've been given the opportunity to speak before you, and I look forward to any questions you might have.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. And having served on the Commission for Women, I know you'll find it really interesting and worthwhile. Any questions for Ms. Olson?
Intriguing, coming from the State Department to Oregon.
I'm a longtime Oregonian. I actually grew up here.
Great. Okay. Well, I don't see any questions for you. So thank you again.
Wonderful. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll let you go. And I will close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the reappointment of Stephen Lanning to the Workers' Compensation Board. And after we've heard from him, we will be calling the appointees to MLAC.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Steve Lanning. I'm currently a member of the Workers' Compensation Board, and I'm here today to ask for your consideration for reappointment to a second term. I bring a long standing experience being with the AFL-CIO for 22 years before coming to the Workers' Compensation Board, and before that I was a college instructor for 10 years. And so I think I bring a unique perspective to the board. The rest of the board are all attorneys. I'm the only non-attorney on the board. And I think it makes a difference. I think you can see things in a perspective that others don't always have. And one thing I'd like to say just briefly is that while most of our cases are real serious injuries that are complex and injuries that happen to workers that affect the rest of their lives, we've had a couple of cases where the board has been able to look back at legislative intent, at legislation that you folks have passed, either as a lobbyist or as a member of this body, and to determine what legislative intent was and apply that to some of the cases that we've been involved in. And that's interesting to me because this is a body that I worked in and watched for a number of years and then went over to the board. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for your service already. And you are one of the labor members or the labor member on the board?
One of two. Yes.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Lanning? Okay. I don't see any. So thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Atusa Salami and Kimberly Wood to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. They're both here and have been waiting patiently, and so we are eager to hear from you. Whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Atusa Salami. I am a nurse, a mom of five, and a labor relations representative from the Oregon Nurses Association. I live in Umatilla, Oregon, and I currently work at Good Shepherd Medical Center in Hermiston. I'm interested in serving on the Management Labor Advisory Committee for Workers' Compensation because as a nurse, I've had patients and coworkers in the system and believe I can bring that perspective of patients, workers, and care providers to the work that the committee does. Additionally, as someone from a rural area, I can bring the perspective of rural Oregon and the challenges of rural Oregonians to working with the system. Thank you for your consideration of my appointment.
Thank you. Please
go ahead. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear today. My name is Kimberly Wood, and I'm here to speak to you today about my interest in serving on the Management Labor and Advisory Committee. I was born and raised here in Oregon, in Salem, and attended Willamette University undergrad. I got my bachelor's degree in physiology and attended the Willamette University College of Law to get my law degree. I have an extensive background in the day-to-day workings of Oregon's workers' compensation system. My experience includes working for several construction companies, including Thermal Construction, a large contractor from the Portland area, where I'm currently the Director of Corporate Risk Management. And I'm currently serving and will soon be finishing my term on the Construction Contractors Board. What really motivates me is the importance of a robust workers' comp system that works both for the companies as well as protecting workers, especially a system that stops those injuries from occurring in the first place. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to potentially be on this committee. And I thank you for your time today, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Okay, so we have one person filling labor spot and one filling the management spot. Great. Okay, did we have any questions for these appointees to MLEC? Yes, Senator Beyer.
More of a comment than a question. As you probably know, the legislature has been pretty reliant on MLEC to come up and reach compromises since its creation after the reforms in 1990, I believe. It was 90, 89 or 90, I can't recall which year it was. That worked really well for a long time. But my observation recently is that MLAC has been less able than in the past to reach compromises and come up with things and dealing with issues. And I hope you'd work to that. And one example that I threw out is something that was came to my attention was dealing with independent medical reviews. There's been some work on that, but I know we had an issue that we tossed back to MLAC. Issue came to me, people do not believe, injured workers, that the reviews are actually done independently. There's a concern about that, and I think it's a perception. I don't know that it's real, but I think there's a perception out there because, well, I guess the perception is that the independent, the doctors who practice in that area work for the insurance company. And so there's a tendency to be biased to sustain that. I don't know whether that's true or not, but there's a perception. So we had some suggestions that maybe we separate that issue out a little bit, and a suggestion that I had made last time, and is referred to MLAC, is perhaps we go back and allow the request for an independent practitioner to be made through the Workers' Compensation Division, so that there was that break between there. There wasn't that. I just throw that as a suggestion. I think that's an issue out there. We have to remember why the workers' compensation was developed in the early 1900s, and it was that fair deal between the employer and the employee, and sometimes we forget that.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Senator Beyer, I don't know if anybody wanted to respond. You don't necessarily need to.
No response.
Okay.
Necessary.
Do we have any other questions for these MLAC appointees? Okay, I don't see any, so we'll thank you again and let you go, and we'll be acting on your appointment as well as the others at the close of the hearing. So I'll close that public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Hester Carr to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. Oh, I guess she's here. Great. Okay, well, welcome. Glad you were able to join us in person.
Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee, thank you for considering my appointment to the nurse position for the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. My name is Hester Carr. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And having been a perinatal obstetric nurse for over 30 years, I am very cognizant. Well, I've been a staff nurse, charge nurse, clinical instructor, nurse manager, currently a clinical nurse specialist, and very cognizant of how an unexpected outcome, whether caused by error or not, can greatly impact a new parent's, newborns, families, and the nurses and doctors who care for them. In my role as a perinatal clinical nurse specialist at Legacy Health, I'm responsible to be sure that we care for patients properly from the nursing side, and I've been involved with root cause analysis using a just culture framework. And I feel that this experience, as well as my fervent belief that hiding mistakes perpetuates them and examining them can help prevent them in the future, really aligns with the mission of the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. And I'm honored to be nominated, and thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for Ms. Carr? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing, and last but not least, open a public hearing on the appointments of Adrian Enghaus and William Youngren to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and I believe Mr. Youngren is joining us by phone. Hi, is this William Youngren?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Senator Diane Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. Here at our hearing room in Salem are our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Brian Boquist, Senator Jenny Burdick, and Senator Lee Beyer. We've just opened a hearing on your appointment and that of Adrian Enghaus to the Board of Nursing. And if you would like to go first, just say your name again for the record and tell us briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Oh, sure. My name is William Youngren. My background is I've worked at Legacy Manual for 28 years, other places before that. And the reason I want to serve is because I really feel that the nursing profession, whether it's CNA or RN or LPN, is really valuable profession to society, and that I want to preserve the integrity of the profession, enhance prestige, and the safety and every other imaginable aspect of, and I also believe that public service is a privilege and an important thing. I believe it's important to be involved in making our society better. Just as obviously you do, because you've served so honorably as a senator in our state for so long.
Okay, well, thank you. And well, if you want to stay on the line, you'll be able to hear the other appointees. So if you'd like to go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chairwoman Rosenbaum and committee members. My name is Adrian Enghaus, and I reside in Senate District 26. Thank you for considering my nomination to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. I'm humbled and honored to be considered to serve the governor, the public, and my profession by this appointment. I've been a registered nurse in critical care for 20 years. It is the best job ever, except unless maybe I was a senator, which, you know, a nurse is a great job also.
You get paid more than we do.
Don't quit my day job, right? So I also serve as the Executive Vice President of the Oregon Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, AFT Local 5017, and I'm a proud member of the Oregon Nurses Association. I'm a member of the Kaiser Sunnyside Medical Center Staffing Committee, and I serve as the co-chair for the Regional Scope of Practice Committee for Kaiser. I represent the Northwest Labor on the Kaiser National Nurse Leadership Council, and I serve on multiple other nursing and labor committees. Serving in these capacities, in addition to continuing to work at the bedside, allows me to observe how public policy impacts the care we deliver every day. I look forward to the opportunity to use these observations to benefit the State Board of Nursing in our deliberations in improving how we serve the citizens of Oregon.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve in addition to everything else that you're already doing. Do we have any questions for either of these folks?
Oh, I'm trying to think if I want to ask. May I?
Yes, go ahead, Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, what do you think about mandatory staffing ratios?
I happen to work in a hospital where we have bargained ratios into our contract, and we are presently working on enforcing those ratios.
How's that working?
Well, we're presently working on enforcing those ratios. So I think they're great, and I think they're well supported until it comes to the question of breaks. And that is when the ratios sometimes seem to go askew. And that's the part that is expensive to the employer and hard to maintain. But I think that it's something we have to do for public safety. So it's my personal opinion and maybe the opinion of my local organizations.
There's the other side of that, too, in terms of patient safety.
And that's why I support them, is the patient safety. They always deserve a nurse at all times and taking care of them, not watching them or observing them.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes, Senator Boquist.
I have two.
Go ahead.
The first one's an easy one. I was looking at Adrienne's bio here and saw that she worked for the Portland VA hospital.
I did.
Is it a typo that you worked there from 2000 to 2013, or was it 2003 and then you went to Kaiser?
2000 to 2000. I was there for 13 years, and I went there in 2000, and then I simultaneously worked at Kaiser and the VA for a length of time, and now I solely work at Kaiser Permanente.
Follow up with that question.
Go ahead.
Is, you know, because we always hear there is a short nursing shortage or there isn't a nursing shortage, depending on where you are in the state. Is that pretty common for nurses to work at multiple locations?
Yeah, not uncommon at all.
Okay, follow up.
Go ahead.
This is a more tricky question because you're from the metropolitan area and I am not. With rising health care costs in my rural district, and just so you know, I have rural Willamette Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost,
I called that one.
I mean, the last 18 months to 2 years, there has been a huge rise in what, for a better word, I'll call urgent care facilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're staffed by nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because there are no doctors in communities like Alsea. There's just nobody out there. It's only nurses doing that. Thoughts on the expanded role of nurses in direct provider care independently?
You could buy a seat on my board.
Well, I think that Oregon has one of the most progressive rules around expanded nursing care, and I support it. I think that nurses in advanced practice do an exceptional job, especially in those urgent care facilities. And, you know, we have parity in the state. We also have a broad expanded role, and I do support that. It's what needs to happen in the future, especially for rural communities that are suffering at not having enough medical attention and care in their areas. So the RN can serve in a higher function, at work at the top of their scope, is what we would refer to that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any for either of you, so thank you both. And Mr. Youngren, Thank you for joining us by phone. Thank you for joining us here. And I will close the public hearing on both of those appointments, and that completes our hearings for today. Senator Farioli, did we need a brief recess?
No, we don't.
We are good to go. Okay. Why don't you stay put? And okay, so that completes our public hearings. So those are all closed, and I'll open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Stuart Morris, Deborah Valeur, and John Lausing to the Oregon Board of Accountancy, Cindy Weinhold to the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission, Stephen Turgeson to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, Douglas Ferguson to the State Aviation Board, Marietta Gary Smith, Casey Jema, Gwendolyn Trice, and Robin Collin to the Commission on Black Affairs, Vivian Carlisle Smith to the Commission for the Blind, Christopher Harder as the Director of the Oregon Business Development Department, Francesca Vermillion, Lisa Kouzis, and Jason Young to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Bowen Blair Jr. and Daniel Erickson to the Columbia River Gorge Commission, Eric Olson, James Kitchen, and James Patrick to the Construction Contractors Board, Colette Peters as the Director of the Department of Corrections, Marcia Michaels to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, Jose Javier to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, Beth Iva and Kelly McIntosh to the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery, Nicole Almanza, Linda Reed-Jarofsky, Helen Moore, and Bradford Stevens to the Board of Trustees of Eastern Oregon University, George Russell and Kimberly Howard to the State Board of Education, Thomas Silterbo and Charles Larson to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Jason Whalen to the Employment Relations Board, Nasreen Khan to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, Gerald Langler to the Oregon Growth Board, Oscar Arana, Brenda Johnson and Stacy Dodson to the Oregon Health Policy Board, Ramon Ramirez, David Reeves, and Duncan Wise to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, Irma Castillo to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, Anna Geller, Myra Areola Gonzalez, and Zora Koza to the Oregon Housing and Stability Council, Clyde Psyche as the Director of Department of Human Services, Sherman Lamb and Catherine Morrow to the Land Conservation and Development Commission, Robert Patridge to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Valerie Early to the State Marine Board, Michael Swanson to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Jennifer Lyons, Robert Kahn, and Dana Rasmussen to the Oregon Medical Board, Donald Betts and Stephen Edelman to the Board of Medical Imaging, Robert Scarperud, Lisa McNeil, and Charles Wiggins to the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Medicine, Lillian Hogue to the Nursing Home Administrators Board, Adrian Enghaus and William Youngren to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, Derek Louis, Stephen Tronis, and Molly Cardinal to the Oregon Board of Optometry, Julia Brim Edwards and Michael Bailey to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University, Hester Carr, Melinda Mueller, and Natasha Tobias White to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Rachel DeBarmer and Roberto Linares to the State Board of Pharmacy, Michael Alexander to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, Stephanie Shaw to the Board of Trustees of Portland State University, Charles Koplex to the Psychiatric Security Review Board, Linda Nishi Stratner to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners, Enrique Sama to the Public Employees Benefits Board, Juan Ariza, Patricia Connolly, Casey Duncan, James Ader, John Teague, and Jason Myers to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, Lisa Hardy and Stephen Bloom to the Public Utility Commission, Gordon Onslow to the Residential and Manufactured Structures Board, Michael Harriman as the State Resilience Officer, Jeremy Newtonboom, Dennis Slatterly, and Joanna Steinman to the Board of Trustees of Southern Oregon University, Destin Uli and Victoria Edwards to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. Stephanie Compton and Antoinette Payne to the State Board of Tax Practitioners. Vincent Jones and Dan Peterson to the Board of Trustees of the Oregon Institute of Technology. Susan Morgan and Sean O'Halloran to the Oregon Transportation Commission. Travis Stovall and Bruce Warner to the TriMet Board. Danelle Davis to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. William Diaz, Carol Hickman, and Bern Kronberger to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service. Kimberly Olson to the Commission for Women. Stephen Lanning to the Workers' Compensation Board. Atusa Salemi, Kimberly Wood, and Guy Bolo to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee, and Alicia O'Neill and Sherry Dunn to the State Workforce Investment Board. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And I will and Senator Burdick, would you be willing to carry our en bloc motion on the floor?
I would be thrilled, Madam Chair.
Great. She is delighted to do so, and we're delighted and look forward to hearing you say all those names, especially me. Okay, so that completes our hearing for today. Thank you to everyone who appeared before us and is still here, and everyone else, too. And with nothing further to come before us,
that's right,
I'll close the work session, and we're adjourned.
That's right,
I'll close the work session, and we're adjourned.